Today is Wednesday, April 14th, 2021. The time is 9:23 a.m. and I now call this meeting of the Dallas City Council to order. We'll begin with our invocation, followed by our pledges of allegiance. And I will do the honors of introducing our invocator today. I'd like to introduce Pastor Brian Dunnigan, who will be providing today's invocation. Pastor Dunnigan helps lead a community devoted to the transformation of the city of Dallas. Brian grew up in Texas and attended Stanford University. He holds a Master of Divinity from Regent College in Vancouver and a Doctorate of Ministry from Fuller Seminary in Southern California. Pastor Dunnigan serves on the Advisory Board for Advocates for Community Transformation, an organization pursuing justice for neighborhoods throughout Dallas. He's also a member of faith-based groups such as Dallas Clergy and One Dallas. In his spare time, he can be found playing soccer with his twins, Ann and Wheeler, or cycling with his wife, Allie. Thank you for being here, Pastor. Are you there, Pastor?
I am. Let's pray together. Can you hear me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gathering of women and men who love and are seeking the best for the city of Dallas. We thank you for every leader, every public servant, every citizen seeking to serve the common good. And as our council members continue in this weighty and even sacred work today, we ask that you would help all of us to see the significance of our work, that you have called us into public service or the marketplace or law enforcement or education for such a time as this. Give us wisdom to know what's right and the courage to do it. Help us to use our entrepreneurial gifts to change lives that we might be known by the problems we solve. Make us always mindful of our calling to serve the people of our city, especially the most vulnerable, those who are often forgotten, marginalized, passed over. God, would you help us in the midst of so many wounds and so much that seems broken in our beloved nation? Help us to bear with one another in love, a love that's willing to suffer alongside. Protect us from a defensive and divisive spirit and enable us beyond what we may be able to do on our own strength to listen, to learn, to lament. Lord, hear our cries for justice. Hear our cries for peace. Make us agents of unyielding, unstoppable, hatred-overcoming, division-defying, stubborn, and steadfast love. God, all this we pray in your good and beautiful name. Amen.
Thank you. We'll now have our pledges of allegiance. If you are present, please rise. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. Thank you very much. You may be seated. And Madam Secretary, if you would proceed to our open microphone speakers, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good morning. This morning, you have five individuals who have signed up to speak. I'll recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the City Council will be removed from the session. Individuals will be given 3 minutes to speak. When your time is up, please stop. It will be announced. Also, if you have any comments, address those to Mayor Johnson only. Your first speaker is Marvin Crenshaw.
Good morning.
We can hear you, Mr. Crenshaw.
What? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Mr. Crenshaw.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Marvin Crenshaw, 3008 Pennsylvania. Mr. Mayor and members of the council, I'm one of the last of those who came with J.B. Jackson, Jr., Councilwoman Elsie Faye Higgins, Albert Liscomb in 1980, to learn the process at City Hall, and therefore in learning the process to transform Dallas City politics and Dallas City Hall where it served the citizens of this city. Now, I've been a counselor. I've run for council longer than anybody in the history of Dallas, started in 1983. Right now, I'm on a write-in candidate. I'm the write-in candidate in District 7. Mr. Mayor, once again, I am requesting of this council for stimulus checks for all who live in the city of Dallas. They've done it in Houston, Waco, Fort Worth, El Paso, and across the country. And in the city of Dallas, we talk about the homeless, we talk about people who are in need, but you don't want to do anything. You can give a stimulus check to the people here. It is the people of Dallas, the city of Dallas, who make the city of Dallas, who are here when you have a state fair, who are here when you have all type of activities and try to promote Dallas. The people are here, and they need to be helped also. We can't continue to wait for Congress to sit up and argue and for 10 and 15 months, and the people are still suffering. We must get the citizens of Dallas back on their feet again. And the stimulus check is one of the ways we can do it. The people who have been giving the food out, and that's another way. And all those people who are helping, attorneys who are volunteering as far as people getting put out of their apartments and where they live. We must have to get our citizens back on the feet, on their feet again. And, Mr. Mayor, across this country, we see problems with the police. Before I lived in Minneapolis with the college there for a while, and they had problems with the police when I was there, and that was in 1969. But we have to do something, Mr. Mayor. In 1987, I was responsible for bringing John Conyers in for the review on the police department, Congressman John Conyers. Mr. Mayor, the problems with training, we do not train our police officers anymore. They are trained by those who live outside of the city and outside of the country. I was reading an article this morning concerning Minneapolis, and some of those police officers have gone to Israel to get training. And that is a problem that we're experiencing all across the country as far as police departments. They went to Israel to get trained. We need to be able to train our officers here. And in Israel, they are training other countries as far as death squads and different things. They're taking over our country. I believe in what?
Thank you. Margaret Bean.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity to speak, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. I began hosting on Airbnb in 2011 when I was divorced so I could stay in my house. I had spent over 13 years living overseas as a missionary, so I was less fearful of people who were different from me or whom I didn't know. Most Airbnb guests at the time were international, and I missed international interaction. My daughter and I welcomed many delightful people, incorporating several into our family. One immigrant from Venezuela is still part of our family. Hosting allowed me to eventually move into a little bungalow in my dream neighborhood, the M Streets. My daughter would move from her bedroom to the couch when we had a guest. Eventually, I got remarried and moved down the street. I welcome guests here in my Greenland Hills home, which helps us pay the mortgage and property taxes and partially retire. I also still host people in my little bungalow so I can eventually give it to my daughter, who's now an SMU graduate. My neighbor across the street from that house, an older single woman, was so impressed she asked me to help her convert a room in her house to host guests so she could stay in her longtime house through her retirement. Other neighbors are very supportive. Most of the guests in that house are parents visiting their children in the neighborhood, or people who have medical procedures nearby and their family caregivers. Here where I live, my guests are mostly visiting medical professionals on rotations, people visiting Dallas for the first time, people visiting SMU or their SMU kids, or people moving to Dallas looking for a home. I refer many to my realtor friend. They all love the neighborhood and the local businesses. I'm alarmed that a very few party houses may stop this service for guests who want to experience real Dallas like people who live here do. It could drive me back to the workforce and cause me to move out of my dream home. That's why I joined the Dallas Short-Term Rental Association to work with Airbnb and Vrbo to remove any party houses from their platforms. They are working to find and get short-term rentals registered and paying taxes, or even better, help Dallas work with platforms to collect taxes automatically. I'm following what's happening with the Dallas City Council and with the short-term rentals very closely and actively, and I hope that Dallas will work with these platforms to remove bad actors and to support the good actors. Thank you.
Thank you. Victor Honey is canceled. Kara Foley Taylor.
And to the mayor, I thank you. And I have invited you to South Dallas many times. And I do still want you to come, because I am having a problem with my property. The property at 2914 and all the way down, even the property that you all clean is growing across the fence to my property. I clean my property. I pay people to help me to clean that. But I'm just, justice is not being done as far as I'm concerned, because I spent almost $1,500 to cut a tree next door because three of the big trunks was hanging over my house. And my friend said to me, he said, what's what you want to do? Do that or whatever. Because he said, if they fall on your roof, it could kill you. It definitely would tear your house up. I need a roof on the front house. And in the late 80s, they had something going, and I put in for that. But you know what they told me to do? Take a reverse mortgage. And I did not want to do that, because I have a family too. And I want to take care of my property. I bought it in 1984. I paid for it 1999. And I am a black woman. And but you know what? I don't think that I'm a black slave woman that I should clean up these other people's property. The government, the president, nobody has given me any more money to do anything. I'm struggling just like everybody else. And you know what? Real quickly, I want to put this in there. I have a brother. He's a retired veteran, and they are keeping him in a nursing home, and they – outside of Houston, in the Houston area, but he's still in the state. In the state, why do we have him? He's been held. And I asked him, did he do anything to be incarcerated? No, he did not. He's 81, and I'm 72, and we grew up together. And I do not like it that his children and myself, we are having a horrible time to get him out of that nursing home. He fell on the floor. I saw a tape recorder of that, and it looked like somebody just shoved him on the floor. And that's horrifying. And I myself was left a retired veteran of 20 years.
Thank you. Nora Stowe.
Today, I ask your assistance in resolving a problem that code enforcement seems unable or unwilling to do anything about. I moved into my home in April of 1997 before the commercial business behind my home was built, and have lived with that as a nuisance property ever since. This is the business located on the property at 10560 New Church Road in the city of Dallas. I have repeatedly contacted code enforcement in regard to this business's failure to maintain their property, by which I mean mowing weeds and removing the trash from their alley line behind my home. Every day I have to pick up trash from their property blown into my backyard and my driveway. Over the years, I have repeatedly complained to code enforcement about the high weeds and litter. When they do mow their high weeds, after months, their mowers mow over the litter and it blows onto my property where my yard service has to rake it up. They routinely put their cuttings and trash in my garbage bin. Twice now, sanitation services has refused to pick up routine garbage because this business has placed yard and garden clippings in my bin. So I've had to pay my yard service to remove it, bag it, and then carry it to the curb during bulk trash pickup. This is causing a significant decrease in any appraisal of my home as I prepare to sell it. I have been cited and paid fines from code enforcement while disabled and laying in the hospital. I would like an explanation from this council as to why I have been charged citation and expenses for my side of the alley, and I can't get code enforcement to do so much as make this business mow and rake their trash. Why can't code enforcement send the same crew that they sent to cut my shrubs and bill me for it while I was laying in the hospital to rake and mow this ongoing everyday nuisance and send them a bill? As I've said, I've complained multiple times to code enforcement without help. They either do not inspect and cite this property owner, or if they do inspect and cite, they make no follow-up inspections to ensure compliance. Please help me in obtaining a permanent solution to what has become a seemingly permanent problem. Thank you for taking time to hear my complaint, and have a good day.
That's
the end of my comment.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, this concludes your open microphone speakers for this meeting.
Okay, let's move on to our voting agenda then.
Agenda item 1, approval of minutes of the March 24, 2021 City Council meeting.
So move.
Second.
It's been moved in and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion prevails. Next item.
We'll now move to your consent agenda. Your consent agenda consisted of agenda items 2 through 40. Agenda item 23 is being pulled by Councilmember Arnold. And agenda item 32, I would like to state for the record, is just being corrected to reflect that it is a contract and not a service price agreement. Therefore, your consent agenda.
Mr. Basil, do it for what purpose?
I just would like to ask if we could pull item 36 from the consent agenda, please.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Thank you. I'll restate it. Agenda item 36 is being pulled by Councilmember Basil Dua. Therefore, your consent agenda consists of agenda items 2 through 22, 24 through 35, and 37 through 40.
Is there a motion for approval?
Moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
District 1.
Mr. West, you're recognized for 5 minutes on the consent agenda as read into the record.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate it, and good morning, everybody. I had just have a couple comments I wanted to make on a couple items that I didn't want to just blow by here. On I think the district, on item number 6, it's a community development block grant funds authorization to couple with the 4% housing tax credit for the Mid Park Towers. I just want to illustrate that this is a these deals on the affordable housing. They're quite complicated. They include many different facets, including CDBG funds, LIHTC sometimes, and in this case even zoning issues. And I want to commend Chairman Kleinman for I think we're almost at the end of all the financing for this particular project. I want to commend him for his leadership and to staff and to all of our boards and commissions that have worked on this particular project. It's a win for the city. Number 7 is authorization of 50 land transfer lots. It's going to release land that the city's sitting on right now. We're having to maintain. We're having to actually, keep up with these lots, not making any money on the lots out of tax revenue, and we're also not able to have housing there. But this is an example of the success and getting these lots out as part of our housing policy. And kudos to Chairman Thomas for making sure these get pushed out. This will provide 50 homes for people who make between the 60 and 120% AMI category. And last, item 26 is a great program for the Dallas Connector. It is a very valuable part of our homelessness response system in providing transportation to passengers. In the last year during COVID, it provided City Square, who is the contractor in this situation, provided 2,289 rides to homeless individuals, taking them to and from mostly the convention center. As COVID hopefully lifts soon, they will resume going to the Central Library, Social Security office, and helping our most vulnerable population. So great items today that we're passing as a council. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Anyone else wishing to speak on for or against the consent agenda as written to the record?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Thomas, you're recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you. I just want to speak specifically to a couple of items, item 25 and 26. Item 25, I want to commend Dr. Johnson on this work. We'll make it very simple for us to be able to work hand-in-hand with so many of our workforce partners. Mr. Mayor, we had a great press conference on Monday related to workforce development, and what this will do is make it real simple as we look to have memorandums of agreement with so many of our partners, specifically as it relates to healthcare, education institutions. These interlocal agreements are critically important and allows us to almost seamlessly work with so many of our partners. It's going to help us build this workforce that will be a model for the entire country. And then I also want to speak on item 26. Item 26, the Dallas Connector. This was a phenomenal, innovative idea. I'm glad we're able to renew this and provide an opportunity for many of those who are without a home who need transportation throughout the city. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Anyone else wish to speak on for against the consent agenda?
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Narvaez, recognize you. Yes, sir. You're recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you, sir. I wanted to talk to you all about item number 30. This is a something that we approved earlier as far as the program, but today we're approving service contract for who will implement the West Dallas Targeted Rehab Program, which is a $2 million program to help rehab homes throughout the entire 75212 zip code. This is equity bonds that TC Broadnax came to us and was able to find that were from overages from bond projects in the past that were either abandoned and or savings from those bond projects. So this is something that I'm really excited about. We talk about making sure that we combat gentrification and that we are helping those that are struggling with the rising valuations of their land. And this is a way that we can help those that have been in West Dallas for decades and have built their families there so that they don't get pushed out. And so I'm very excited about this and just wanted to give that update and thank staff for putting this together. And to all of the organizations that we partnered with that got the applications out, we have hundreds of applications at this point, and we are very excited about this as they start to vet them so that the contractor can start to get out there and get to work. So with that, obviously I'm in favor of this, and I'm glad that nobody pulled it and we get to leave it on the consent agenda. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Anyone else wishes to speak on for this consent agenda? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Madam Secretary.
Agenda item 23. Authorize a professional services contract for environmental services with TerraCon Consultants, Inc. for Cadillac Heights Redevelopment Project, generally located between Cedar Crest Boulevard, Morrell Avenue, LaSalle Drive, and East Keith Boulevard, not to exceed $328,200. This item was pulled by Councilmember Arnold.
Is there a motion for approval?
Move approval, okay. Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Move and second. Any discussion, Ms. Arnold?
We need to, I move to make just a correction on districts. I believe the district is listed correctly by District 2, and it should be 4.
Okay. I just want to make sure I understand what you need. Just, you're saying the on the agenda, it just was unclear?
On the record, yes. And Adriana Castaneda is available to explain. If she's available, she can explain.
Sure.
Thank you.
Good morning, Adriana Castaneda, Director of Bond and Construction. Yes, Councilmember Arnold is correct. There was a typo on the council district. It's listed as District 2, and it should list District 4.
Any further? Ms. Arnold, you still have time.
Point of order, Ms. Arnold.
Thank you.
Yes, please state your point of order.
There was a motion on the floor. Did that need a second, or is that something that can just be fixed because it was a typo?
It's just a technical correction. It's not actually, we're not doing anything.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah. Is there any, Ms. Arnold, we're still on your time. You have 4 minutes, 33 seconds. Do you have anything to say on the item? You're on mute, though.
We just need
still
to
mute it. There you go. There you go. You're good. You're good now.
We need to just correct the record so that it accurately reflects where the work is taking place. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else wish to speak on for against item 23? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Next item.
Agenda item 36, authorize one supplemental agreement number one to add armored car services to the service contract for bank depository services with Bank of America, N.A., through an interlocal agreement with Dallas County, Texas, for a term of 40 months, not to exceed $1,600,000 from $7,293,185 to $8,893,185, and two, the ratification of $437,342 for the City Controller's Office to pay outstanding invoices for citywide armored car services for city facilities to Brinks Incorporated, formerly known as Dunbar Armored Inc., total amount not to exceed $2,037,342. This item was pulled by Councilmember Basil Dua.
Is there a motion for approval?
Motion to approve. Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion, Mr. Basil Dua, five minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to get some clarity on the contract itself, looking at the resolution and the history of the supplements that have come to councils in the past. It looks like it's a really substantial jump on the contract, and wanted to see if Elizabeth could just kind of explain where the jump is. It looks like the biggest jump we see, other than what this is being asked, which comes out to being, with the 40-month period, about $500,000 a year increase that is being asked, that it was about half of that per year that was asked to increase in 17. Other than that, it's been very, very minimal on increases. And so I'm just curious on why it's such a large amount. And I get the past invoices, but I'm specifically talking to the 1.6 for the 40 months.
Thank you, Mr. Basil Dua. Elizabeth Rage, Chief Financial Officer. Good morning, everybody. The contract with Bank of America has not previously included armored car services. We had a separate contract for that, and we ran into some issues, and it's been a long time coming, and we have ended up now contracting for armored car services through Bank of America, and so that's why this increase is more than they've been in the past. I'd like to ask Chuni Chen, our procurement director, to add to that or correct anything I may have said that needs correction.
Hi, Chuni Chen, Director of Procurement Services. Thank you, Elizabeth. That is correct. The original contract was procured many years ago, and the market has changed for armored car services. There was some consolidation between competitors, so this new pricing is higher than what we had previously.
Okay. And so was there another bid put out, or was this just a renewal with the contract that was put out originally?
We did do a new procurement, and we were unable to come to an agreement with the single proposer. It was Brinks. So instead, we turned to Bank of America, and they subcontracted this out. So it's through an interlocal agreement that we have with Bank of America for some other services, and that scope is large enough to include the armored car services, but Bank of America does not carry out the services directly. They in turn subcontract it out.
Okay. And out of curiosity, do the enterprise accounts that split this expense also absorb the increase in costs, or is it just from the general fund?
The cost is the same for all the departments, and then it's paid for each department according to – so it, the cost is the same, enterprise or general fund, the cost of the services.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Also speaking on for against item 36. Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it, Madam Secretary.
We'll now move to your items for individual consideration. Agenda item 41, consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. This morning, you only have one nominee for individual appointment. To the Veteran Affairs Commission, Diane E. Birdwell is being nominated by Councilmember Basil Dua. Ms. Birdwell meets the served in U.S. military special qualification.
Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
And second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Next item.
Agenda item 42. An ordinance authorizing an amendment to the Project Plan and Reinvestment Zone Financing Plan for Tax Increment Financing Reinvestment Zone Number 3, Oak Cliff Gateway, TIF District, to 1, include a finding that operations and maintenance support for the Dallas Street car is necessary and convenient to the implementation of furthering development along major transportation corridors and transit connections in and adjacent to the TIF District. 2, create a budget category in support of the Dallas Streetcar, and 3, shift $257,202 net present value of the district's budget from the Oak Cliff Gateway Subdistrict to the new budget category, amending ordinance number 23033 as amended to reflect this amendment.
Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion?
West.
Mr. West, you're running up to 5 minutes. Item 42, members.
Thank you, Mayor. This item and the next one, 43, which are could have to be considered 43 after 42, are basically to authorize using TIF funds from the Oak Cliff Gateway to pay for a portion of the streetcar's operational budget. In a recent Transportation Committee meeting, it was voted upon to support this resolution and to send staff to go back and try to find additional funding to cover the remaining operational needs of the streetcar. So this is a partial funding of the streetcar with use of TIF funds, and this was supported by the Gateway TIF. So ask for your support, please.
Anyone else wish to speak on for against item 42?
Middleton.
Ms. Middleton, you're running out for 5 minutes.
I move to amend the motion to the dollar amount of $950,000.
You've heard the motion. Is there a second?
Good.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion. We're now on the amendment by Mendelson. Anyone wishes to be on for or against the amendment by Mendelson?
Mendelson.
Ms. Mendelson, you're recognized for 5 minutes on your amendment.
Thank you. This item's actually been talked about quite robustly at the Transportation Committee, and the basic premise is that we accepted the $81 million in federal and state funding for the streetcar with no plan on how we would pay for the maintenance and operations. And so what's happening is we're spending $2 million of our general fund, $2 million of our general fund for just the streetcar. It was only in this fiscal year that we were, in this council term, that we're even able to start the fare collection for $1. So people were riding this for free. The $2 million from our general fund is coming from all over our city to provide very limited transportation for approximately 300 riders a day. And
I find this objectionable. The idea behind this was economic development. The TIF fund is to support economic development, and the funding from the TIF, the balance of the $950,000, should be used to pay for this. And I highly encourage my colleagues that we do not accept what Councilmember Kleinman often calls other people's money, but is not. It's our money when we don't have a way to sustain it and maintain it. So I would like to take the rest of the money out of this TIF to pay for this so that we can use our general fund for all of our residents. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak on, for, or against the amendment by Mendelson, not the underlying motion?
West.
I just have Gates.
Mr. West.
Basildua.
Gates.
And
West.
Arnold.
Gates. Basildua.
Arnold.
Arnold.
Narvaez.
Narvaez. I got West, Gates, Basildua, Arnold, Narvaez. Mr. West, you're recognized for 5 minutes on the amendment.
Mayor, I wanted to give staff an opportunity to explain the funding mechanism for the streetcar, our responsibilities to fund the streetcar pursuant to acceptance of the Tiger Grant from several councils ago and how this has been funded in the past, and then also have staff comment on, probably economic development staff, how, what is in the TIF fund and how the TIF fund is able to be used. So I'm going to just open that up for staff to have this opportunity.
Good morning. Good morning, Honorable Mayor and Council members. Can you see me?
We can hear you and see you, Magic.
Okay, great, sir. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. As far as the funding for the operation and the maintenance of the streetcar itself, and I have Gus Concarli, who's the interim transportation director, and hopefully Franklin Honeycutt, who's also the manager for the streetcar, is funded out of several ways. One is DART contributes about $650,000 to the $2.3 million operation and maintenance for this specific streetcar line. And so out of they contribute about $600,000 to $650,000. The rest comes from the city. Some of it, which is about $300,000, comes from a developer impact fee that happened some time ago in concert with the Council of Government. But the rest of the fees come from the city, and the city normally budgets about $1.4 million to accommodate that. This specific year, the city budgeted $1 million in its general fund to fund the street to fund the streetcar. However, in several meetings with the transportation committee, the concern was the general fund is subsidizing or is paying for operation and maintenance of the streetcar, and that's where the TIF thoughts and ideas and the public-private partnership funding idea was explored. And so that's kind of an overview quickly of what that funding. I hope I answered the question, Mr. West. And if you needed more details, Franklin is available to answer.
Thank you. And wanted to talk about if Frank wants to comment on how the staff is looking at other funding sources per the direction of the Transportation Committee, which is why we authorized a partial payment in transportation, and staff is, I believe, coming back to us with some other ideas to close the gap on the funding. Please correct me if I'm wrong on that.
The staff, until Franklin comes on, staff has actually partnered with LDR to look at several ways that we could generate revenues in the future. Unfortunately, that will take some time to build up on and execute. We've looked at several ways, including air rights, including signage, including other rental activities in there. And so, again, those types of opportunities can be realized in the future, but not in the current year or even next year. They will take probably a couple of years to build up. But we looked at other funds to subsidize this, and the only other thing that we've looked at that would be feasible was the TIF, as well as the public-private funding that is in the economic development. And I'll actually turn it to Dr. Johnson to see if he can talk a little bit more about that.
Yes, thank you, Majid. Let me ask Robin Bentley, Kevin Spate to hop on the call to talk about public-private partnerships and TIF and how we've been looking at this. So, Robin, I'm asking you to join on this conversation.
Good morning, Council. First of all, I wanted to clarify, I believe the amendment is intended for item 43, not item 42. I just wanted to clarify that before we moved along any further.
You think that Ms. Mendelson's amendment applies to item 43, not 42?
I believe so. Item 42 already puts aside $950,000 in the project plan. And item 43 actually allocates the $475,000. So I just wanted to clarify if the amendment was for 42 or 43.
Ms. Mendelson?
To have it for 43, thank you.
Okay, so would you be willing to withdraw your amendment from 42?
I would, thank you.
Is there any objection to the withdrawal of the amendment? Hearing none, so ordered. The amendment is withdrawn. We're back on item 42 as it was originally read to the record. And we'll pick up where we left off, which was Mr. West had finished, I believe, his comments on 42. So anyone else wishing to speak on for or against item 42? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Madam Secretary, next item.
Agenda item 43. Authorize the dedication of $475,000 in Oak Cliff Gate TIF funds from the available district-wide set-aside to support the operations and maintenance of the Dallas streetcar for FY 2020-2021, not to exceed $475,000.
Is there a motion for approval?
Moved.
Move to approve with the following change.
Okay, wait a minute. Nope, there was already a motion to approve it as it was written first.
Well, I hadn't finished speaking.
What do you mean you hadn't finished speaking? You hadn't been recognized.
I hadn't finished speaking with my move to approve.
Nope, I heard Chad West's voice first.
Got it.
The secretary is nodding her head, saying she heard the same thing.
That's fine. I'm sorry. I thought you had heard me.
Nope, I heard Chad West. Chad West, did you still want to make the motion as?
Yes, move for approval. Thank you, Mayor.
Kent.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Ms.
West.
Ms. Mendelson, you're recognized.
I move to amend the motion to increase the amount to the $950,000, which is available for this purpose, and would like to
ask point of order, Mr.
if
Mayor.
I get a second.
Well, we can't interrupt the motion. I got to hear the motion first. Ms. Mendelson, can you repeat it so I can? And then we got to see if state your point of order first, Mr. Narvaez.
The motion was an advocacy of the motion at the time it was being read out. So that's why to the point of order.
I haven't heard any advocacy yet. It may have been about to go there, but I hadn't heard it yet. But I can guarantee you I would jump in if there was. So let me hear the motion because it got cut off.
The motion is to increase the dollar amount to $950,000. That is available. Thank you.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Okay.
I think I heard Mr. Kleiman's second. Okay, so it's been moved and seconded. Discussion. Ms. Mendelson, you're recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you. There's $950,000 in this TIF that is available to support this project that is coming from our general fund. If we were going to support general fund dollars for transportation subsidies, I would think that we would use it for our most transit-dependent population, not for Bishop Arts riders. I would like to ask Majid, can you go through the couple of years, how about 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, and the projected dollars expected from our general fund for this project?
Yes, ma'am. I will ask Franklin Honeycutt, if he's on the line, to project those numbers for us.
Yes, this is Frank. I hope when I'm on. It seems that when the streetcar first began, the general fund contribution was about $875,000, increased to perhaps $950,000, and it was heading towards $1.2 million per year. Last year, at the direction of the Transportation Committee, we were able to use up reserves from other fund sources, and so the general fund contribution for last year, FY20, was $0. We've used up all of those reserves, so we have no reserves for FY21. I think that answers that. There are a number of other sources, and I can go into each one if you like, but that was the general fund contribution.
Can you also go for the projected 2022, and let's go for 2023 as well?
The projected cost for the streetcar is 2.3 for this year and 2.4 for next year. The general fund need to support that would be $1 million this year and $1 million next year, except that we're trying to find other funding sources instead of general fund, the Oak Cliff Gateway TIF being one of those sources.
The remaining amount in the TIF is $950,000. Is that correct?
I think the economic development would be better to answer that, but I believe that the plan calls for setting aside as much as $950,000, which would be this agenda item. Again, if I understand it correctly, the next agenda item would actually allocate what's proposed is $475,000 or half of that amount.
Councilman Benderson, this is Robin Bentley in Economic Development. You are correct. Item 42 just approved allocated up to $950,000. Item 43 under consideration now proposes half of that to be spent this year on streetcars.
And there's no restriction that the other half would be for the following year. It could be used on another project. Is that true?
I'll ask Kevin Spatz to speak to exactly what the project plan says about the other funding.
This is Kevin Spatz, the Office of Economic Development. The $950,000 is a budget capacity line item in the TIF plan now, so those funds couldn't be directed to anything else other than streetcar O&M.
Is there a reason why we wouldn't want to use it all right now as opposed to waiting?
The $475,000 in item 43 is the recommendation of the TIF board.
And the Transportation Committee asked the TIF board to consider $950,000, is that correct?
Yes.
And it's the council's decision whether to accept the recommendation of the TIF board or to go forward with their own ideas, is that correct?
Yes, I believe the city attorney's office has opined that the council is not limited to the $475,000 and can recommend up to the $950,000 in budget capacity as allowed by the TIF plan.
Thank you very much.
Gates, on the amendment by Mendelson, I'm carrying over the queue from the last amendment.
Thank you, Mayor. So a question, maybe this for, I think, assume for Kevin as well. So that money, if the full amount's not utilized in this fiscal year, could it be allocated to other TIF projects, or would it be held over for the following year?
It would just sit there until the TIF board was prepared to make a recommendation to spend it on something.
But could they spend it on something else? I thought I heard you say it has to be spent on the streetcar.
It does. That's what I mean. It has to be something related to the streetcar to support the streetcar.
Okay. So if we allocated all the money this year to avoid taking it out of the general fund, then what would happen with next year's? That there wouldn't be money to allocate, or?
Correct. The budget capacity will be reached. The 950,000 budget capacity would be reached. And so in order to allocate additional funds beyond 950,000, we would have to do another plan amendment and have it approved by the TIF board. And we would have to find the cash, because these are not, you know, this is not an allocation of future increment. It's a bill that would have to be paid with cash. And the set aside, this is coming out of the set aside. So the set aside doesn't have a lot of cash each year. It's only a small percentage of the total increment. So I think off the top of my head, next year's set aside would probably be in the 200,000 range.
And then we'd be obligated, because we're obligated to pay it in some, correct, because of the agreement with the Tiger Grant, or we would have to repay the cost of it, of the streetcar. So so they could amend the plan, though, and find more money in next year's as well, is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes, but not a lot of money.
So it's a decision on, do you exhaust it all this year and pay less out of the general fund this year, and then next year pay more out of the general fund and less out of the TIF? Is that what I'm hearing, or not? Is that not?
You have characterized the TIF piece correctly. Now, the where we get the rest of it, that's still part of what the transportation staff is trying to figure out.
And what are some other sources of funds if it's not potential? That's not general fund.
The public-private partnership fund that Frank and Magid have talked about.
Okay. But that has other there's potential other uses for that as well.
Certainly.
Right. And the uniqueness about the TIF is it is for that area, so it can't be used. All right. Okay. That kind of answers my questions. Thank you.
Mr. Bethel Dewey, you're recognized for 5 minutes.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Kevin, can you kind of give us a high level layout of what the financial plan was in the original interlocal agreement in 2011 between DART for the streetcar project and the COG?
I think Magid is probably better to answer that question, sir.
I'll ask Franklin to actually chime in if he can, but let me share this with you. The agreement was for the COG to the Council of Government to go after some Tiger Grant funds, and I believe it's about $30 million, and the Council of Government put up another $28 to $30 million of their funds as well, with the commitment for the city to be the responsible party for the operation and maintenance, and for the DART to be actually operating the system. And so that's
thank you, Magid. That's what I was actually wanting to make sure was highlighted. There was very specific language that was commitment, and it, as an interlocal agreement, was a partnership that we entered into with different agencies that was very clear that the grant funding that was used came with an intent of an operating and maintenance cost. The city of Dallas should be able to stick to our obligation and responsibility of a project that we committed to and accepted a lot of money with and went into partnership to see accomplished. We also have a commitment and a priority to be a more walkable city, to create more access to jobs. We're going to be looking at a lot of vacant property here in city center where hopefully we'll see a lot of more affordable housing opportunity, that this is just one more place. We cannot look at funding one of the most expensive mass transit projects in the city's history 1 week and then a couple weeks later talk about wanting to shove under the rug or not take responsibility for very minimal costs in the grand scheme of things to keep something operational that we made a commitment to more than a decade ago, and now we should not go back on it. In addition to that, as far as accountability and transparency, I mean, we all have an opportunity to appoint people to boards and commissions, and I know that the TIF board is made up of appointees that took the item up as how sustainable it would be for what they have been charged to do on what those funds can do for that particular district, that the funds are meant to be a tool for growth. If that board has come to the determination that 475 is the threshold that would be best and to not exhaust all of the funds in this swoop, I don't think that it is a good practice for us just because we want to go back on them, because that's undermining the very reason that we have appointees to do that work for us. So I do not support this amendment. I think that we have an obligation and a responsibility of our city to continue projects that we have a commitment to and started. And I will be committing, I will be supporting the original motion from Councilmember West. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Arnold,
West.
I had a pre-existing cue, and I'll get back to you, Mr. West. Ms. Arnold, you're recognized for 5 minutes on the amendment.
Thank you. I do support the amendment that Mrs. Middleton has presented, largely because if you go back and do some history on this project, it was very interesting on just the origin of it, and I call it more or less polytrix. And so the full disclosure, I think, is important for us to understand what historically what happened. Now, I would like to ask, first of all, if someone could tell me how much, or maybe you can get that to me later, how much have we actually put into maintenance and rehab since we started this agreement on this particular streetcar?
We can give you a ballpark number right now, but we can certainly give you the exact number after this meeting, if you don't mind, Ms. Arnold. But looking at $3.5 million since the inception of the streetcar.
All right. So would you please get that to me? I would venture to say it's more than that. Number two, when did we start assessing the $1?
I believe we assessed it back in August of 2020. Am I correct, team?
All right. Could you get that for me? Because there was some delay, because we talked about the disparities that existed between communities, and they were allowing that community to ride the bus free, and while my other constituents are having to pay to travel.
Yes, sir.
Next item on the public-private partnership, could you tell us where does the public-private funding come from mostly? Is that with any of our water money, or is that...
So, So I'm going to defer to Elizabeth Raich, our Chief Financial Officer, to answer that and maybe talk a little bit about the general fund piece. Elizabeth, are you on?
Yes, thank you, Majid, and thanks, Ms. Arnold. Yes, you're right. The public-private partnership money is funding source from the Water Department that they pay for using our city services and streets. And so that is the ultimate point for that. Now, what I'll say about this issue is we've looked at a lot of different options for funding this. And, you know, I, of course, am protective of the general fund maybe more than anybody. But in this case, we have looked for different sources and have been unable to identify a source that's different than the general fund. And so that's why we budgeted $1 million in the general fund for this purpose, because we know that we have a commitment and we can't go back on that commitment, or it would cost us a lot more. Now, public-private partnership is one option that may enable us to fund this. However, that means that we don't have as much money for economic development activities other than this. And so it's really the balancing act that council has to do it at all times, really. But I would just say I'm comfortable using the general fund. We budgeted for it in the general fund. We have the money set aside for this purpose. And if you're going to use the TIF funding, that's great. Whether you use it all in 1 year or over 2 years is not as much of an issue to me, because either way, I'm going to have to make up the difference. And so I guess my point is there's no concern from a financial standpoint of using the general fund at this point.
All right. Thank you. Mayor, how much time do I have?
3 minutes and 41 seconds.
Thank you. On the $950,000, I would support that primarily because as I'm speaking now, if we're going to use possibly suggestion, water bill, that means my community is not benefiting. We're paying the bill, but we're not riding. The next point is we're paying now through if we're doing the general fund. Are we using general funds now? Is that my clarification, Elizabeth?
I don't believe that we used any this last year because there were some other funding sources, some reserves, et cetera. So I think, as Mr. Honeycutt said earlier, it was $0 this last year.
Oh, what previous year did that? Did we use any before that?
Yes, we did, yes.
All right. So during that time, if you all recall, residents over in 10th Street and the Bottoms, they were having to pay to ride to work to the same distance. And so it was the lack of equity that I talked about, and there was a slowness on behalf of the DART to even implement equity in terms of making sure, not equity, equality as it relates to just having to pay that fare. So I think there is a continuous focus on this pet project, and I'm sitting here with constituents who need that $2 million from the general fund to help with streets. Now, yesterday I was out driving, and I'm looking at my DART stations full of trash, and I have the photos to show it. It's unacceptable. We have roads where the DART bus is traveling, but they're having a time traveling because of your potholes and other issues on the street. So if we're going to use general fund, it needs to be for the general population so that we can have equity in our system. So, Mayor, I will be coming back. I do support this, and I believe we need to go ahead and use the $950,000, and we'll worry about next year, because this is a pet project, and it's not accessible, and it's not fair in terms of just how this whole project was set up, because you're robbing from Peter and Paul, and we cannot afford to continue to drain our general fund for pet projects. And I think it's a cute little car. But at the end of the day, my constituents should have equity and equality when it comes to transportation and infrastructure on which the public transportation accesses. Thank you. And I'll come back if I have to, but I believe they need to go ahead and use that money up. Thank you.
Ms. Narvaez, you're recognized for 5 minutes on the amendment by Mendelson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This goes to equity at the core. And I think that it's unfortunate that we have folks that do not understand the term equity on the council. And what we need to be going towards is how do we reduce fares across the entire city and not try to punish one area that over a decade ago sought to figure out how to build equity in their community so that they could have access to their jobs. We hear many folks on this council talk about getting folks to their jobs, and this streetcar is one way that we get them there. We have a lot of other places that we have to help, especially in the southern parts of Dallas. And so we went backwards as a council when we decided to start charging a $1 fare because people are too focused on quote-unquote equality, but that's not how it works. In order to get equality, we have to build in equity. And this equity is by reducing fares across the city of Dallas and improving our public transportation system. This was a quote-unquote pet project, but the reason that it was a pet project was because the purpose was to build up economic development in this area. And if you look up and down this street, and it's literally just underneath the freeway from where I live, so I'm in the area all the time, the economic development worked. The investment worked. The investment by the city of Dallas has been minimal in order to increase the economic development along this corridor. The reason I don't like this amendment is because it drains the TIF. It drains the TIF without listening to the advisors on that TIF. I believe that we all appoint folks to different boards, commissions, and TIFs, including you, Mr. Mayor. And if the advisors come back and say, this is what you should be doing, and that group of individuals did it, and they work with our staff, and this was the recommendation they came up with, I wholeheartedly believe we should really be listening to it and trusting our advisors. We can always go back if we need to get that other $450,000. We're not using it all this year. We can go back and we can get it if we need to get it. And I think that it's irresponsible for us to start spending money and putting money and allocating it to the side that we don't need to use at this exact moment. And that's part of what we have to make a decision on. And that $450,000 might be better utilized with another project that will increase economic development, bring more jobs, bring housing. There's all kinds of different things that TIF, which is what they're actually designed for, could actually bring, not just to that region, but that benefits our districts adjacent to it, including 6. Ridership on the streetcar, I can tell you that I do drive to downtown when I come here to work, but there are times when I do like to go into Bishop Arts at lunchtime or for a meeting after work, and instead of getting in my car, I'll walk down the street and get on an EBJ station and catch the streetcar and get down to Oak Cliff or a part of Oak Cliff. So there is accessibility to ridership on this streetcar. And I think that this streetcar is actually something that we need to start figuring out how we expand it to the rest of it, because we haven't completed it. And how do we expand it into other parts of the city so that it works? It may have started as a quote-unquote pet project, but it's this council's fault, and it's our city's fault for not having expanded this into other parts of the city. And this is a time that we need to be focused on how we get more service to our residents without charging them more money. I think that this amendment is not the right one at this time. I will be voting against it, and we'll be voting for the original amendment if we get there. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. West.
Atkins.
Yes, I'll get to you, Mr. Atkins.
Well,
I can pick up Mr. Okay, hold on a second. West, Atkins, and was it Blackman?
Yes, sir.
Good. Gotcha. Blackman, and that's all I heard, right? Madam Secretary. Okay. Yes, Mr. West, you're recognized for 5 minutes on the amendment by Ms. Mendelson.
Thank you, Mayor. And I want to point out that folks who were on transportation with us, this is a repeat of the conversation we had there. And it's always good to have healthy discussion. And how we ended up at the meeting was to say, you know what, staff, go out, try to find that additional funding. In the meantime, we've got to move forward with this $475,000 to get the streetcar funded to continue operations and fulfill our commitment with the RTC. Staff has not had a lot of time to do that yet, and my ask is that we can move forward with this as such. I do want to ask Economic Development to speak up and talk about what's the impact of fully draining the TIF to pay for the operations and maintenance of the streetcar.
This is Kevin Spath again, the Office of Economic Development. Mr. West, I think the easy answer to your question is it could hamper our ability and the TIF district's ability to support projects that are currently in the pipeline. Very important projects that already are aligned with the project plan for the TIF district. The one that comes to mind is an affordable housing project that was featured in the Dallas Morning News by the editorial board last week. We have been working for over a year on that project and are very close to the goal line with it in terms of an executed deal. So that's the one that comes to mind quickly. There are others certainly in the pipeline. So it could certainly hamper our ability to support projects.
So the 475, you've determined that what is in part of the original motion, that by taking that out of the TIF, that's not going to impact the ongoing projects. But the additional funding at this point would impact the ongoing projects.
Well, to clarify my response, we could fund up to $950,000, and I don't think that would drastically impact our ability to do future projects. I think I was speaking towards this going beyond a one-time deal, and if we get asked to do this again next year and drastically amend the project plan, that is something that could have significant impact, negatively impact the TIF district.
What are some of the other things that the TIF is used for? You mentioned affordable housing. What other items?
Infrastructure, public infrastructure to support new private development. Remember that the TIF district's primary purpose under state law is to create new tax base, new real property taxable value that is temporarily captured in the zone, and then when the TIF district expires, the full general fund benefit is realized. So we look for projects that create tax base and also revitalize areas that are underutilized or vacant, so try and get properties that like that back onto the tax rolls with new development. Many of our project plans have other public benefits built into them, like affordable housing. So, yes, we are always looking to do projects that increase tax base and substantially increase public benefits in those projects.
What about lighting and blight remediation?
Yes, that is certainly something the TIF districts can do, and we are in the process of looking for projects to increase and improve lighting, public lighting, in certain TIF districts as we speak.
All right, thank you. Well, let me ask you this also, Kevin. If we move forward with the original motion today, we could always come back in another month or two or three and ask for the additional funding if transportation needs it to cover the cost, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. I have a question for transportation. So this has been called a D1 TIF project. This is something that's been worked on for over a decade. Is there a plan to do something else with the streetcar, possibly connect it to another streetcar line within the city? And if so, what is that plan, and what districts would that impact?
Absolutely, sir. I think there is a plan to connect with the downtown and hopefully connect with the existing line in uptown at Mata create a loop that would have an impact, and not only just an economic impact, but also a transportation impact as an added tool for transportation. So, yes, there is. We're working on the streetcar master plan. I actually would like for Michael Morris with the Council of Government, if he could be a panelist. He's on a standby, and he can talk a little bit more about the region's plan for transit, but specifically to the streetcar as well. So, yes, there is a plan to connect.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you. I'm told that Michael Morris is, okay, he's connected.
So, Mayor, if I'm allowed to pass it on to Michael Morris.
You can. We need to work on letting him know.
Mayor, I'm on.
Oh, there we go. All right, there you go. Asking if shall receive.
Mr. Mayor, good day to you, members of the council. Good day to you. You're debating growing pains. I remember at the ribbon cutting, every councilman from the city of Dallas stood up and said, you know, this is great for the future of the city of Dallas because it'll permit system. The answer to your direct question, yes. Not only did the RTC write the Tiger Grant, the RTC funded the extension to the south because it was such a short section. And then your question really speaks to, in order to be really successful, you have to create system. So it's up to the city on what the next component would be, but the obvious component is connect from the current end station on Bishop Arts through downtown to the McKinney Avenue trolley in the Arts District would be the most logical next step. And those efforts are underway in conjunction with your action from last meeting, where you create the system connections for an improved D2, hopefully at the Press 345, at the Press Interstate 30, structures and parks over Interstate 30 Canyon, you start getting the system integration that we all hope for, additional investment in the southern sector, so on and so forth. I hope that answered your question.
Thank you, Mr. Morris. Appreciate you joining us today. I will hold the remaining comments till the end if second round, Mayor. Thank you.
Mr. Atkins, you're recognized for 5 minutes on the amendment by Mendelson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I know the Tiger Grant, when we first got the Tiger Grant, I think Full Work was in the lineup to receive one, too. Michael, you still there, Michael. Question. That Full Work decided to send their money back, as I recall. Ms. Morris, with the RTC, what role did RTC play in the Tiger Grant? What role did we play, RTC?
So, Councilman, you are correct. I'm not sure it's quite tied that way, but we wrote a grant for Fort Worth won a streetcar grant. They were nervous about building a streetcar and trying to build a rail line to DFW Airport at the same time. The council elected to support the Tex Rail Line that is now open to operation. The Federal Transit Administration was upset that Fort Worth rejected it. Technically, the money went back into a pot. We then wrote a Tiger Grant during the next open call. I think the Federal Transit Administration awarded the Tiger Grant to Dallas as a payback to the city of Fort Worth, but technically it stood on its own ground and competed. So the RTC won those funds. That was the funding and the partnership that was developed between the city and DART, DART being the operator and the city eventually being the owner. Two or three or four years later, the deal points were made for the RTC to transfer ownership of the streetcar to the city of Dallas as originally planned. And that's where we sit today. The original funding was short of the request. So the original section was so short, it didn't really make a lot of sense. So the RTC went ahead and funded the extension southwest further into Bishop Arts. And what you see today is the first and second phase of the Bishop Arts streetcar.
Would it be fair to say the RTC was really in a partnership with the city and DART to make sure that we did get the federal grant to make sure we had a streetcar?
Yes. You know, everyone understood, okay, the good news is the federal government's paying for the streetcar, the city isn't. The city will benefit through the capture of additional property tax as a result of the streetcar's construction. So the city eventually obtains the property tax benefit. Remember, streetcar is a land use mode. It's not really a transportation mode. I think Majid is correct. Once you create system and connect Bishop Arts to the McKinney streetcar, I think it then becomes a transportation mode as well as a downtown land use economic development tool. But yes, the RTC, everything to date
has gone exactly how was originally planned between the partners of RTC, the city, and DART.
Okay. Elizabeth, just a matter of record, I served on the transportation. I just want to make sure we have clarification. And my question to you and also to Magic at that time, to go out and try to find other funding to fill the gap. And when you came back to transportation, you said this is the funding that we have and this only thing we have available. I do understand my colleague, you know, saying take all the money out of the TIF deal, but we did give you opportunity and you did came back and said, here what we can do, this is where the money should come from. So therefore, I'm kind of hearing conflict that did you have opportunity to come back to us, and you did come back to us with a recommendation. So I'm looking for finance and budget. You know, you control, you're the gatekeeper of the money. And we did ask that question as a policymaker. We did ask you to come back to give us the option, and your option with this, what you brought today. Is that fair?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so now it's up to us as a policymaker to make a decision that said, okay, we feel like it's not fair. We feel like we should use all the money for this year. If we do use all the money for this year, is it fair to say that next year we would have to go back to the general fund, or what bucket of money would you be looking at?
Yes, we would be looking at either the general fund or public-private partnership money.
Okay, so in this scenario today, and when we asked you a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, did you look at the two scenarios, the public funding and the general fund, and your result was the general fund, not the public, private funds? Can you explain that?
Well, the council already approved the budget, you know, last fall for this fiscal year that included $1 million within the general fund. So since that money is available, it makes sense to use that. It's already budgeted. If the council chooses to use something different, then we would come back at mid-year and repurpose that money. But I'm perfectly comfortable using the general fund.
Okay. So I believe that in the conversation in transportation, there was a deadline. I think a deadline did come up and said, when do we actually have to make this payment to DART? Do you recall what is that deadline that we actually got to make that payment to DART?
I do not. It may have already been due. I'll have to defer to Magic.
Magic?
It is due, sir. We're supposed to make it for this year early on. We're actually 6 months or 7 months into the operation, and we have not paid them. So they were kind enough, I guess, or cordial enough to allow us to make two payments, one up to the April operation and maintenance, and the next payment in about a couple more months.
Okay, so therefore, we are current with DART right now, Magic, and if we decide not to pay them today, when would be scheduled the next payment, and how much would that be?
We have to pay them today. We haven't paid them for this year.
So we said this year, is it a cutoff? It's from year to year? What is the cutoff date? I mean, there have to be a date, Elizabeth, when we make payment to DART. I mean, is that date, is a contract said we got to pay it on April the 14th? Did it say you got to make the payment by August the 15th? What is that date that is a date due? You know, every bill got a due date. So my question is, what is the due date?
So let me ask actually Franklin Honeycutt to step in and answer that question. That would be more appropriate for him. But I just want to remind us that DART did send the city manager and I a letter saying that they will actually go into a public hearing in the future to ensure that there's a reduction in the frequency of the streetcar to make sure that, you know, we reduce the operation and maintenance, and that defeats the purpose of having a streetcar and that would be counterintuitive or counterproductive to anything that we want to do in the future. So I just wanted to say that. So they are looking for the payments like today. But Franklin, if you can be on the line to answer that, please.
I would characterize it best as saying that we're already overdue. We get an invoice basically once a month for the previous months. We have some funding sources. We've used up what we have been approved to use. Today's action was supposed to get us a little further, but we're well into the year. As you can imagine, when it costs $2.3 million a year to operate, and we're counting on $1 million from the general fund or somewhere, that's pretty much half the budget, and we're more than half of the year through. So we're overdue, and as Matthew has pointed out, DART has been cordial, you know, but they're wondering what's going to happen for the rest of the year. So they're trying to plan, and I have no answers to give them until council takes whatever action they choose to take.
Mayor, how much time do I have?
You have 1 minute and 18 seconds.
Again, question, what is the due date? I still have not got the answer said, when do we have to write a check to DART? Do we write checks to DART once a month, once a quarter, once a year? How do we pay the debt? I still don't have an answer.
I'm sorry, I thought it was clear. We get an invoice every month, and we've paid some of the invoices with money that we've been authorized to pay
Okay, I'm very simple. We pay invoices every month. Do we get a bill from DART for X amount of dollars every month and we write a check?
Correct.
How much is
yes. that? It varies from 1 month to the next. The lowest would be, say, $150,000. The highest has been in the past maybe as much as $300,000. That would include some significant repair. But on average, we're around $180,000 to $200,000 a month.
Okay, Elizabeth, I'm trying to make it simple, Elizabeth, for people to listen. We got $900,000 we want to approve today. Do we write a check to DART for $900,000 or do we write a check to DART for $450,000? Would that be current? What would be the amount?
Yeah, 30 seconds.
We had to write to DART. That's what I want to ask. Simple.
I will probably need to ask Mr. Honeycutt because what he has said is that we have thus far this fiscal year paid some of the invoices, but not all of them. We are in arrears, meaning we are overdue on some of our invoices. And so it's going to depend on what that amount of money is.
And we don't
what I would say is that it sounds like if our average every month is 170, 180, we probably would write the full $400,000 or so right away. I suspect we owe at least that much at this point in the fiscal year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ms. Blackman, for 5 minutes on the amendment by Mendelson.
Thank you. I have a question first for Elizabeth. Because this is for money for this year, correct? So next year, we're going to go probably through the same conversation, or can we even use some of our federal money that we're going to be getting hopefully soon to for the next year?
Well, we still don't have Treasury guidance on the uses of that money. However, looking at the legislative text, I will tell you it does not appear that this would be something that would be able to be funded with the federal money. We can fund foregone revenue. We can fund certain types of infrastructure, but transportation infrastructure is not listed among the infrastructure we can fund with the money. So we'll certainly look at the Treasury guidance, and to the extent we use the money to replace lost revenue, it becomes general fund money, and at that point, yes, it can be used for any purpose.
Okay. And then Majid or somebody from transportation, what happens if we don't fund this? I mean, we've made a promise, we have an obligation, and it is streetcars are an economic driving tool. But if it doesn't get funded, I mean, do you shut it down?
So let me maybe simplify it, Ms. Blackman, and I'm probably going to go out of script and,
okay.
And forgive me for saying that. We get about $30, $40, $50 million annually from the Council of Government for projects that we want. Those are projects that are very vital to the city of Dallas. And we, at worst, we contribute about 20% of those projects that they come in either from bond projects or from a general fund. Now, we have an obligation for 30 years to own this streetcar. If we relinquish that, it'll probably go back to COG, and COG will be responsible to pay this. I'm not going to speculate, but I'm going to say that if COG takes over that, one, they will lose trust in the city of Dallas. And that's not something I want to – I mean, I'm sure you have worked very hard, and city staff has worked really hard to establish a very good relationship with the Council of Government. And case in point, we just got awarded several million dollars recently, about $14 million for a couple of projects. We got awarded $14 million for traffic signalization. They went in with us for the technology piece on SM Wright, and we got $4 million. So in all, we get roughly about $40 to $50 million a year from COG. Why would we want to lose that? Why would we want to jeopardize that relationship? And I'm saying that with the most clean intentions, if you will. But that's something that we need to really, really, really discuss and pay a hard look at if we're going to do this, understanding what we may lose now and in the future.
Thank you for that. And back to Michael. So you did talk about a system. And as we bring more multimodal, options, what is there a, and anybody else who can help answer this, is there a plan in creating a system with this part of it?
Yeah, the answer is absolutely. I mean, the city is, going back 10 years, has wanted to integrate a streetcar system into the near neighborhoods around downtown. And to create the economic development benefits. And as I said, once you create system, you then start creating the transportation benefits associated with it. I don't think the city has waned in its interest to continue to advance a streetcar, and there's no evidence. In fact, the opposite is true. The streetcar in Bishop Arts, if you would add up the sum of the property tax benefits that have been gained in Bishop Arts and best articulate what percentage of those property tax benefits were due to the introduction of the streetcar, and then when you start assessing what is occurring over the next 12 months in the southern sector, largely due to the investment in the streetcar, you have strong evidence that your streetcar system is very much working with regard to the ability to produce property tax revenue and walkable communities and everything that you had hoped as elected officials. So that system is still alive and well. At your last council meeting, I suggested, I think in a question that Councilman West asked, as you ask us to look at the system benefits of D2 and 345 and 30, why wouldn't you want to again, exercise interest in connecting the streetcar across downtown. So I don't have any direction from the council on what other priorities would be next after that, but it seems logical. We've worked hard, and so has McKinney Avenue Trolley, worked hard over the COVID-19 world to increase ridership in that quarter, and it seems logical you would want to connect the dots between those two systems.
I agree, and a strategy around that, connecting the outer ring of downtown into downtown through a streetcar, it's an economic development strategy, it's a transportation strategy, and, many cities do it around the world. And so I think it's an optimal, it's we're at a point where we can make some really good movement if we focus our energies. That's it. I'm still listening to the discussion, and thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Anyone else wish to speak on for or against Ms. Mendelson's amendment to item 43? Who has not spoken yet?
Second round for Gates.
Anyone who hasn't gotten in on this first round that would like to? Okay, we'll open a second round with Ms. Gates. I'm going to start a new queue. Gates, who else would like to get in?
Arnold.
Mendelson.
West.
Okay, we'll start with Ms. Gates for 3 minutes.
Thank you. I think this would be best geared at best for economic development to answer. If we only use the partial dollars, half of it, the way it was presented, and not the full amount, as in this amendment, going forward, could those dollars, I asked this earlier, they could be used, they're identified for the streetcar, but could they be used for something different than streetcar operations, like this is being requested for, like a project?
Ms. Gates, this is Kevin Spath again. It would have to be used for streetcar support.
Support, okay.
Yeah.
So the amount at this time is limited to streetcar support. And it's just the question is if it's going to be all in this year or split between this year and next year. Just want to confirm that's my understanding.
Yes, the budget capacity for streetcar support in the TIF plan is $950,000, and the funding recommendation from the TIF board for FY21 streetcar support was $475,000.
Well, could they, the TIF board, make a different recommendation then for that amount next year? Do they have the ability to do that? So it would not be available?
Yeah. Yes. In fact, the TIF board at the time that they made their recommendation for $475,000, they said they invited staff to come back with other options, at which time they would consider making a recommendation for the other $475,000. So they're fully expecting staff to come back and ask for the rest at some point.
But so the money could be diverted. Is that what I'm hearing?
It could not be diverted from streetcar support related stuff.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Ms. Arnold, for 3 minutes.
I needed to get clarification when we talk about other projects. I think I'm getting double messages. On one hand, we talk about the economic impact and the spur and the ability to do housing. Could you clarify that statement again, Mr. Spath? You're saying the money can only be used for streetcar support?
Sure.
What is it?
So the $950,000 in budget capacity that the TIF board has approved with their TIF plan amendment can only be spent on streetcar stuff. But moving forward, if there were requests to substantially change and modify the TIF plan and completely restructure the TIF budget for future years or some additional funding for the streetcar, that's what would hamper our ability to use TIF funds for economic development future projects.
So are the projects that you're speaking of mostly surrounding the communities, the communities that are connected to the streetcar? I think I heard him talking about moving north. I just need to make sure I understand that.
What I'm saying is this is only in the Oak Cliff Gateway TIF district, correct?
All right. So I did hear Mr. Morrison talk about moving north. So I think this is where I'm going to go with this. I'm going to continue to support Mrs. Mendelson's recommendation, largely because we're dealing with an issue of equity and equality. And I'm listening to you still, we're talking, and I'm still getting insulted by the fact that we're still moving north. I'm still dealing with issues of transportation needs in the southern sector. We're dealing with the train down, straight down Lancaster Boulevard that needs some environmental studies because it's impacting the quality of life in the neighborhood. And we're still subjecting our communities to the lack of equity when it comes to transportation. And so I just cannot continue to sit here and listen while we continue to talk about moving on up to the north side and even on the east side of just 35, we can't get any respect or justice. And so we're going to continue to, I'm going to take that stand, no justice, no peace, until our communities are able to, we're going to be at the table, but we're going to have a table that we can actually reap benefits from. And so, Mayor, I'm going to continue to take this stand, and I hope that you will join us as we talk about equity in the southern sector, and we're tired of being the stepchild and the afterthought. And so equity, that resolution we all embraced last week, we have somewhat forgotten. And we're going to have to take a big stand and a big step to correct the injustices that we continue to witness around this horseshoe. Thank you, and I'm going to support this particular proposal. Thank you.
Ms. Mendelson, you're recognized for 3 minutes.
Thank you. I just want to say, first off, this TIF money is not even in the remotest way calling into question the continuation of the streetcar. So I think that's been a very strange diversion in this conversation. The second thing is that we need to pay our DART bill, and we need to pay it on time. So the source of funding is the only question, and please make sure that that gets fully paid. I think that's not the way we should be treating our partner agency. Number three, I'm just going to say, as a philosophy, we should not be accepting dollars when we don't already have a plan on how we're going to maintain and operate it. And it's only been on this council that we've had that conversation, because it's just been coming out of our general fund with no discussion. So I want to specifically say thank you to Councilmember Kleinman, who brought this originally to the forefront. I also want to call out Councilmember Carolyn King-Arnold. She is the one who brought up the conversation about equity in the fares. And if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't have the $1 fare on the streetcar. Our other members who are other residents who ride DART pay $2.50 every time they go one way. But on the streetcar, it's only $1. And there is an equity issue there, and she has been the leader in asking for that, and I support her 100% on it. The next thing I'm going to say is this. Has the tax base been increased? I think we've heard as a general comment, absolutely it has. And I'm so glad, and I think that's wonderful. But the exact point is this simple item. The tax base has been increased. The capture of that property tax that has increased has gone to that TIF, and that TIF should pay for the funding of the maintenance and operation, not the general fund. It's simply a source of where the funding should come from. So those are my comments. That's why I think we should use the $950,000 now. Clearly, there's designs on that money for other projects that are coming. The TIF board can reallocate the money on their project plan budget, and we need to use it for the operation. That's the responsible, fiscally responsible way to use those dollars. And that's why I'm supporting it. Thank you.
Mr. West, you're recognized for 3 minutes.
Thank you, Mayor. I've got a question for Majid. Majid, has there been discussions that you've been a part of expanding the streetcar to go further into Oak Cliff?
Not particularly, sir, but that's where we have the opportunity to do the streetcar master plan and look at all routes and all opportunity areas where you can enhance economic development activities as well as increase riderships. So that certainly can be part of the overall master plan to look at that. And maybe, as Michael Morris said, create that loop around the area where the zoo is, where Marcellus is, and wrapping maybe to the government centers and coming back as well.
Would it make sense to take it from where it is now over to the zoo, because there is a DART station there and that would better connect the south?
I think anytime you want to enhance the economic vitality of a specific area, there would be an opportunity for a system like a streetcar or a similar system to do that. We would have to take a look at it, but I think all areas are open for that type of activity.
There's not a current TIF or any other kind of funding source around the zoo area, correct? So it would need to be funded through general funds, at least for a portion. Is that right?
I don't know the answer to that. I think the economic development staff is probably more equipped to do this. But I think if we're serious about continuing to look at other phases, future phases of this, in partnering with the Council of Government and the federal government in looking at some of these things, there could be some grants to really build this with the understanding that we would have to maintain it. So there's going to be a maintenance plan, and with that maintenance plan, we have to put in the metrics for us to be able to really sustain the operation and maintenance of this, understanding that the streetcar may have to be subsidized in terms of the operation and maintenance, that the revenues are not going to probably be equivalent to the operation and maintenance costs.
All right, thank you for that. I'm going to just wrap it up, Mayor, by saying, you know, the original motion is to use TIF funding to partially fund our payment that's due to DART. I committed, as being the council member of the majority of the streetcars in my district, to helping staff find additional money to try to cover the costs so that we don't have to drain the TIF. And we haven't given staff time to do that yet. Staff has said that we can come back and we can use the rest of the TIF money in a future meeting in 2 or 3 months. If we go ahead and just pass this first half today, which is what we recommended from transportation and what I'm asking for today. You know, draining the TIF right now could have consequences, but it is something that we can come back and do in a couple of months if we give staff a little more time to find the additional money. So I'm asking for your support with the original motion so we can just put this to bed for today, come back another day for the remaining amount. Thank you.
Wish to speak on for or against the amendment by Ms. Mendelson.
I'll do it.
Mr. Basildu, you're recognized for 3 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Majid, I wanted to ask you about the opportunity for expansion. I know I've expressed to you my interest to see a streetcar come through South Dallas and help connect the South Dallas community to the Cedars area, city center, downtown. And, you know, I know that there's going to be a point in time where whatever that interlocal agreement looks like would be dependent on, just as you mentioned, operating and maintenance at the very least. But there would be some expense from our general fund budget. Wouldn't you expect?
I would, sir. Yes, okay. Absolutely. I mean, the operation and maintenance typically is general fund, unless a PID or a mechanism, a funding mechanism, is established specifically for that tool.
Okay, and I also love what was brought up by Councilmember West as an option for helping connect the zoo and helping with Councilwoman Arnold's district having more connectivity as well, and which will probably be in the same boat. I would like to ask if you happen to have on hand, or if someone on the call do you happen to know what the Fair Park TIF balance is?
I will ask Kevin or Robin if they know that kindly. And just a point of clarification, Mayor, I know Ms. Arnold asked me a specific question about how much general fund we've expended so far. And I said about $3 million. I was off by $200,000, so it's $3.2 million. And Kevin?
Yes, sir. This is Kevin Spath. Mr. Basildu, I think off the top of my head, the cash balance in the Grand Park South TIF is $600,000.
Okay. So my point is, if we're going to be looking at a similar situation, thank you very much, Kevin, for the answer. If we're going to be looking at a similar situation and we're bringing equity into the conversation and we're going to be looking at opportunity for expansion, by this being a viable option, it doesn't really speak to equity when we're looking at expansion for communities that really do need to be better connected, because the supplement of utilizing TIF funds doesn't exist down in the Dallas Zoo area, as we mentioned, and quite frankly, in the TIF that exists in the area that I'd like to see connected doesn't have those types of funds to be sustainable for that to be a part of the agreement. So we're going to have to be willing to put in general fund dollars to maintain and operate a program that is going to provide this service to make our city more connectable. And that is something that I stick with. So I do not, I still do not support it, but I would like to ask colleagues to consider the equity opportunity that we have to really expand this streetcar model, and it not just going to Uptown and into Bishop Parks, but really capitalizing on the momentum that we have with this program already implemented and start seeing it going to where we'd like to see it go to help our residents more. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Anyone else wish to speak on for or against Ms. Mendelson's amendment to item 43? Hearing
Mayor,
none.
Yes, sir.
For what purpose? You want to use your second round, 3 minutes?
Okay, I couldn't hear you. Mayor, are you speaking to me?
Yes, ma'am. You have 3 minutes in the second round if you'd like it.
All right. Mayor, I need just a point of clarification so that I can make a final understanding of a statement of what I need to do. If Mr. Kleinman could help me out, Mayor, as we talk about the economic development benefits from this TIF, could he give me a response on the MUD? Did that MUD, was it passed? Mr. Kleinman, if you could answer that. I'm looking for another source of economic development funding. That's what I'm asking for.
If he's on the line and he would like to respond, he can, and it will count against your time.
Thank you.
I believe you may be speaking about the Oak Farms MMD.
Yes.
And that did go through the legislature last time, and I'm not sure if they have started accumulating any cash that they could spend towards this. But the MMDs have their own boards and kind of make their own decisions. That's part of the reason the city generally advocates against MMDs, because it takes the control away from the council and puts it to the board of private developers. So I just don't – it did pass the legislature. I just don't know if there's funding there for something like this.
All right. So that's something I wanted to just look at, is in terms of possible another source of funding for that particular area. So, Mayor, with that being said, I'll just continue to support Mrs. Mendelson's statement previously. Let's go ahead and pay our bill, and then let's us move forward just in terms of an equity resolution. And I appreciate and applaud the work that Mr. West is doing in that community and others who have spoken on that. But I do know a little bit more about my position, just as I talked about sitting at El Phoenix many years looking at that streetcar with nobody on it and a lot of waste of dollars. But I think now they're moving on up. But guess what? We want to get some mobility also in our communities, and I'm going to continue to fight for that, because we need help in the bottoms as well, in transportation, as we move to escalate and bring our constituents in the 21st century. Thank you so much, and I will be supporting Mrs. Mendelson's resolution or proposal. Thank you.
Also, just speak on for or against Ms. Mendelson's amendment to item 43. Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Vote, Mayor.
Second vote.
Record vote. A record vote has been requested. Record vote has been granted. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Hey, Mr. Mayor. When I call your name, please state yes if you're in favor, no if you're opposed. Mayor Johnson?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Medrano?
No.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem McHugh? Deputy Mayor Pro Tem McHugh?
No.
Councilmember West?
No.
Councilmember Thomas?
No.
Councilmember Arnold? Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Resendez?
No.
Councilmember Narvaez?
No.
Councilmember Basildua?
No.
Councilmember Atkins?
No.
I'm sorry, Councilmember Atkins?
No.
Councilmember Blackmon?
No.
Councilmember Kleinman?
Yes.
Councilmember Mendelson? Councilmember Gates?
No.
Councilmember Blewett?
No.
With 3 voting in favor, 12 opposed, the motion fails, Mr. Mayor.
Madam Secretary, we are now back on item 43 as it was moved by Mr. West, I believe. Anyone wishing to speak on, for, or against item 43? Hearing none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. The ayes have it, Madam Secretary. Next item.
Agenda item 44 is a resolution appointing a presiding judge and an alternate presiding judge for the Dallas County Central Counting Station for the May 1st, 2021 City of Dallas General and Special Elections.
Is there a motion?
Yes. I move to approve this item and appoint Ronald Bryan as presiding judge and Hillary Director as the alternate presiding judge.
Okay. You've heard the motion, members. Is there a second? I heard a second, but I'm not sure who it was.
Second.
Okay.
Can you repeat the motion? Second. I didn't hear that.
Move to approve this item, appoint Ronald Bryan as the presiding judge and Hillary Director as the alternate presiding judge.
Thank you.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay. I heard Mr. Narvaez's voice first. Mr. Narvaez?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I have a question about Mr. Bryant. This council made it very clear that
you're
we didn't want...
You're recognized for 5 minutes, by the way.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I apologize.
I got to let the city secretary know. Yes, sir. 5 minutes.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a question about well-known political consultants serving in this capacity. This council made it very clear that we didn't want political consultants to be involved in political aspects. And Mr. Bryant is a political consultant and a well-known one throughout the city, and wanted to know if this is has any issue or if this council, I'm not sure who we asked that question when it comes to Mr. Bryant.
So Mr. Atkins doesn't have to respond to you. A direct question from a member unless he would like to.
I would say something that I know that Mr. Bryant is not a consultant for any campaign person who's running for here. I don't know what is the scope of his consultant work that he do. That's a question that he can address. I'd be glad to make sure he addresses it to you, Chairman Omar.
Well, I appreciate that. Unfortunately, because of the things that this council said and has done in the past, I'm not going to be able to support this because I do know that Mr. Bryant is a political consultant. He actually is running a redistricting nonprofit or some kind of a redistricting firm, and this council put him on the redistricting committee. So I don't know if that's also something that is too much, that he's on the redistricting committee as an appointee, and we're going to make him the presiding judge of the election. So I'm just not going to be able to support that because there's too many open questions that cannot be answered at this time. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Anyone else wish to speak on, for, or against item 44?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. West, you're recognized for – I'm sorry, let me get this cue right so we can know what's coming. Mr. West, Ms. Gates.
Arnold.
Ms. Arnold, were you trying to get in?
Yes.
No? Okay, Ms. Arnold. I have Westgate Arnold. I have Mendelson now. Mr. West, who?
Mayor, that? I'm sorry. I had heard somebody before me originally. I thought when Chair and our vice.
It was Gates first.
Okay. I'll defer to
Ms. Gates, then Mr. West. then Ms. Arnold, and Ms. Mendelson. Ms. Gates, you're recognized for 5 minutes on item 44.
Thank you, Mayor. I just had a question. So, in both of the names that were presented, they weren't originally. It was just. I think one name was presented. So, do we have background information on either of these candidates? And then the second question is, who nominated these individuals to be presiding judge? Is this, I don't remember doing this in the past on for elections. Could City Secretary remind me of how this process works and what the role of a presiding judge is in an election?
Thank you, Councilmember Gates. In the past, the central voting judge, the presiding judge, and the alternate judge was already selected by Dallas County in our elections contract. So when council voted or approved the elections contract, they approved the presiding and alternate judge. This year, in the contract that Dallas County submitted to all of the entities, it did not identify a central county judge, a presiding judge, or an alternate judge for the central counting station. It left it up to the, as listed on the contract, the political jurisdictions, which are all of the entities that are on a particular ballot, in this case, this ballot, to decide who they would select as the presiding judge and alternate judge. What we're doing as a city of Dallas is just, or asking the council to do, is to appoint a nominee or a central presiding judge or an alternate judge as a city of Dallas's recommended nominee, which will be provided to Dallas County, and the Dallas County Elections Administrator will take back to all of the political subdivisions so they can agree upon the nominee or the individuals who will actually serve as the presiding and alternate judges. So on the resolution, yes, that was sent out on Friday. At the time, we only had one nominee, and that was Hilda Ramirez Duarte. That individual name was provided to the city of Dallas by Dallas County.
So Dallas County asked us to nominate names, but they sent us a name.
That's correct.
What I'm... So right. This whole I make a motion to let me ask one more question. Does this decision need to be made today?
Yes, and I can let the attorney step in, but I think they would. I'll let the attorneys answer that question.
Okay, do we have anyone from the city attorney's office who can step in and answer Ms. Gates' question?
Mayor, this is Chris. Tammy, I'm sorry. Tammy will go ahead and answer the question. She's been working with the county and the city secretary on this.
Yes, we do need to make this appointment today if we want our names to be considered, because early voting starts on Monday. And we have to have a presiding officer over the counting station for this election.
Who has acted as the presiding officer before in the past as representatives from the city of Dallas?
They historically, the county picks from their election judge list, and they provide names, and then the council and all the other jurisdiction council approve the contract with those names in them.
Well, why hasn't this been brought to us before so we could, you know, have a look at a slate of individuals?
Well, the county doesn't give us a slate of individuals.
Well, they did today.
Give us a name because we asked them to pick from their election judge list, which has already have qualified candidates. So in the past, our contracts come to us with the presiding judge for the counting station in the contract already, and then all the jurisdictions approve. We have a new elections administrator at the county, and I think they just flipped it this year, and so we're coming back again to do what the contract said, which is appoint someone.
Did they send us any other names?
No, not
qualified. And how does it determine that someone's qualified?
Well, the county puts together a list that lasts for 2 years, and that you just have to be a qualified voter of the particular jurisdiction for which you're serving.
So is Mr. Bryant a qualified? I mean, does he qualify? Is he on the list as well? I mean, his name wasn't in the background information that we got on Friday.
I don't know if he's on that list, and the county would check to see if he's a qualified voter and is eligible to serve.
So it could be any qualified voter. It doesn't have to be.
That's correct.
And then could you explain, Billy Ray, exactly what their role is in the voting process?
Okay, Councilmember Gates. Is it okay if I read the description of the presiding judge?
Or,
okay.
Yeah.
The presiding judge has the same authority as an election day judge with respect to maintaining order and administering oaths. This authority also includes resolving any questions about voter intent on a ballot. If the central counting station manager determines that ballots will be duplicated or manually counted, then the clerks will duplicate or hand count the ballots, but the presiding judge will resolve any questions concerning voter intent. The presiding judge may also confer and advise the manager and tabulation supervisor on the operation of the central counting station. The presiding judge is the custodian of the testing materials prepared for the test until the materials are delivered to the general custodian of election records following the third test. And then the last is just personnel, other personnel items. If personnel and granted temporary absence from the central counting station while the polls are still open and counting of the ballots has begun, the presiding judge shall supervise those absences. So the presiding judges run the election. The alternate judge serves in the capacity of the presiding judge if the presiding judge is absent. That's the general description of the presiding judge.
And who served at this site in the last city election as the presiding judge?
So in 2019, the central count presiding judge was a representative from the Dallas Independent School District, and the alternate was the city secretary of the city of Cedar Hill.
Are you eligible to serve as the presiding judge, if they're...
Yes.
The city secretary is?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. I've got some reservations about us, without even having the background of the two nominees that are presented, taking up this action right now. Is there a way we could take this up at the end of the day?
30 seconds. I mean, it's in theory possible, but it would require a motion to table or to take it up later because it's already been moved and seconded and the discussion has ensued. I mean, it's an actively debated motion, so it would require, if Ms. Palomino would back me up on this, I think, it would require a motion to actually move it. Because it's not just an agenda item that I can move around at this point because it hasn't been taken up yet. It's actually being debated now. So it would require a motion of some sort.
I like the motion to table it till the afternoon.
Second.
And second, Ms. Palomino, is that a debatable motion, or what do we do with that?
Mr. Mayor, it is not debatable.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is tabled till this afternoon, and we will determine. Actually, let me ask you this, Ms. Palomino. Do we need to stay now exactly when we'll take it up, or just we know it'll be the, after our break, but when do we want to do that? I mean, do we have to be more specific is what I'm really asking.
It would be helpful to the public for you to announce when you'd be hearing the item.
Okay, so let me just look at the agenda really quickly, and I'll tell you, I think all we have after this item is zoning items. So I would think it would be the immediate item, unless there was any issue that we take up when we come back from our lunch break, and then go into the zoning agenda. So, with that, Ms. Palmer, does that require a more specific motion, or is that just at this point, since it's the only thing left on our non-zoning agenda, is that just sort of the natural thing that would happen now? We would just take that when we come back?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. That's correct.
Okay. Well, with that, members, we don't have any, Madam Secretary, is there any other items for individual consideration left?
No further business.
Okay, so then where we are, members, that we are going to recess for lunch and come back at 1 p.m., and the first item of business will be item 44, which we move to table, and then we'll go into the zoning agenda. So I'll see you all back at 1 p.m. This meeting stands at recess until that time. The time is 1:30 p.m. and we are now back in regular session. Madam Secretary, we read into the record where we are now in the proceedings.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're on agenda item 44. I'll reread the item into the record. A resolution appointing a presiding judge and an alternate presiding judge for the Dallas County Census Station for the May 1st, 2021 City of Dallas General and Special Elections.
Okay. So, procedurally, members, I believe, I hope Ms. Palmino's on the line to be able to help here. We had a motion to table to this point in the meeting, so we technically would be picking up where we left off on item 44 before, but if there's a motion point, that we need to entertain,
yes,
that would do anything,
yes,
differently,
point on,
we need to hear
yes,
them.
Sir.
Yes,
yes, point on, Mayor.
Please state your point of order.
Councilman Atkins?
Yes.
I have a motion to entertain
okay,
to withdraw my previous motion. Number
let's
one.
Let's that first.
Okay.
You want to withdraw your previous motion?
Yes.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered, that motion is withdrawn. Do you have another motion?
No, yes, I do. Yes. Before
okay.
Before I make that motion, can I send a memo to the mayor and everyone, and I request to say Bitter Ray to be the presiding judge, but according to the rules that I cannot do that, so I just want to put an explanation from Tammy, a bit of rating, and say why they cannot be a presiding judge.
Okay, I think you're okay. So, procedurally, folks, here's what we need to do.
Okay, so make sure.
That was sort of a legal question, and we can have the city secretary or city attorney or whoever is appropriate answer that question, but you have not made a motion
okay.
yet.
Let me make the motion.
Okay, make a motion then, and
okay.
then we can deal with the okay. legal question separately.
Okay. I'll move to approve Bert Vanderbeer as assistant city attorney and presiding judge, and Purvis Long, election manager as the alternate presiding judge.
Second.
Move and second it. Any discussion, Mr. Atkins?
Yes. I just wanted to clarify, I did want to nominate Billy Ray as the presiding judge, and I just want her, the city attorney, to explain why she cannot hold that position.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you. Now I understand what you're trying to do. Okay, so Ms. Palomino or Ms. Billy Ray Johnson, I see Billy Ray's hand here. So Ms. Johnson, would you go ahead and speak to it, then Ms. Palomino, if you need to, or whoever else needs to speak to it. But go ahead. And this does not count against anybody's time. This is akin to a point of information here.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Councilmember Atkins. I would like to correct the statement I made earlier about being eligible to serve as the presiding judge. Under the city charter, I am considered the election official for all of City of Dallas's elections. The Secretary of State has determined that having the additional role of presiding judge for the central counting station for Dallas County is a conflict. Therefore, I am not eligible to serve in that position.
Okay.
And thank you. Thank you, Bitter Ray. And I hope that cleared everything up to the entire fluid council why she cannot serve.
Now you're back on your time. We're going to run your clock now because that was a point of information, really.
No problem.
Your time.
Okay. Thank you, Bitter Ray, for clearing that up. And these other two officers, I'm just kind of appalled that it gave council a short notice to try to get a presiding judge right now. I'm hoping in the future. I just want to thank Chairman Gates for bringing this up, to table this, and make sure we got a clear understanding of what we need, how we need to go forward. Again, Chairman Gates, I thank you for pointing that out. I know that it's a short notice. We got to make a decision today. And I believe that these two people is qualified to do this, and that's why I decided to make this motion and hope, colleagues, that y'all support this issue. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Anyone else wish to speak on for or against item 44? Okay. I'm going to say something about this before we vote, because I do think it's important. And you can run the clock if you need to on me on this. Because it's not really a point of information. This is actually me as a representative of the city of Dallas saying how I feel about this situation. I agree with Chairman Atkins that it's really unfortunate this is even before us. I really have a problem with it. And I didn't know the history of it. I'm glad we had the discussion and found out. I appreciate Ms. Gates for prompting the discussion that elicited some information that I did not have. But just based on the simple facts that we've heard so far, I think it's absolutely inappropriate, in fact, to even be taking this vote we're going to take. I wish our rules allowed for me not to even vote or for you all not to vote, because I think it's inappropriate for people who are going to be on a ballot to be making a decision about who would be calling balls and strikes in connection with that very same ballot that they're going to be appearing on. There are members of this body. Every member of this body, in fact, that's not me or a term limited council member who's going to be on the ballot, and we're about to vote on who should be making decisions in connection with those ballots if there's a disagreement or a conflict. And that's just not a good look. I mean, it has nothing to do with how it's going to – I have no idea how this would ever play out, but that's what conflicts of interest are about. I mean, we shouldn't be in that position. And I think there's a reason why we've never had the council vote on something like this before, and I'm not sure how we got here today. We shouldn't be voting on this, frankly, is my honest opinion, and I wish I could not vote at all. But our rules don't allow for abstentions other than conflicts of interest where you need to be recusing yourself. And since I'm not on the ballot, there's really no argument for me to recuse myself, so I'm just going to vote no because I can't not vote at all, but not because I'm opposed to the individuals. It's just, this makes no sense, and I think we have to ask ourselves going forward how we end up in a situation where we have an agenda item where council members are voting on who's going to be breaking ties and making decisions about their ballots in the races that they're running in. I mean, it's just, that's on its face ridiculous. So with that, let's go ahead and have a record vote.
Point of order.
Please state your point of order.
I'd like to ask the city attorney if they think that sitting council members who are on the ballot have a conflict of interest to vote on this item.
You've heard the question, Ms. Palomino.
I'll go ahead and take that, Mayor. I don't believe that there is a conflict of interest because under the state law, you all appoint the presiding judge, and so that's what y'all are doing. So I don't believe there's a conflict for those members who are on the ballot to you know, to participate.
Thank you.
Oh, that statement confused me. Maybe I have a misunderstanding of it then. So that you're saying that state law says we're supposed to appoint this person? We do, the city council, we're supposed to?
Well, I'll let Tammy go into more detail, but it's basically because the county is not having an election, and then the political subdivisions are. So the political subdivisions are the ones that appoint it, appoint the presiding judge. And Tammy, you could, if I've stated incorrectly or further, please do.
That's correct. Because the county is not participating in this election, each of the subdivisions that are have to appoint both the election judge and the presiding judge for the central counting station.
The elected
and you've
official?
Already done the election judges with the contract.
I'm saying, so the state law says the elected officials do that? It's not an administrative thing. That's something that the people who would actually be on the ballot would pick. Okay.
That is correct. Mm-hmm.
All right, that probably changes how I'll then. Okay, then I don't have a problem. If you're saying, if that's your legal opinion, that it's not a conflict, and that the state law, in fact, says that the elected officials make that decision, then I don't have a problem voting on it then. But I don't want to be associated with anything that's improper. So, all right, we'll move to the Mr. Gates. Go ahead. 5 minutes.
So DISD is participating in this election as well?
I don't know how many are participating in this county, but there are several. So you have school districts and cities, cities or school districts that are having their May elections like we are, you know, those are also the political subdivisions that are
Political subdivisions, will they be nominating an additional presiding judge or I'm a little confused on that. Will there be, my impression was there's only one presiding judge.
Well, there is only one presiding judge, and presumably if you all take action today, that the other political subdivisions will agree. Because you could, you know, if there's 25 elections, you would have 25 different presiding judges. And so that's what I anticipate, that if the council takes action, but that the other ones will say, you know, yeah, we agree, we'll appoint that same person. If there's a situation where there's another person, I guess the majority rules about you know, who that person will be. Tammy, do you have any information on that? If there's, I don't know that it's ever happened before. I think, you know, the person has been selected and they've been the judge. I don't know that we've ever had a situation where, you know, where you had.
I don't remember voting on the judge. We've taken up the contract to administer the election. We've taken up the polling locations, but not this. And I believe Billy Ray said this is the first time that we've actually been asked to pick the presiding judge, I think we're forced to do this at this point today. I'm hearing your interpretation that state law. I do think we're picking an objective person from the city attorney's office that's qualified and not someone that's associated with one of the political campaigns that's on the ballot. But I think going forward, this is something I agree with the mayor. It's, you know, election integrity is something we all take very seriously. And the conversation today, I think, has muddled the water on how this process is handled and what the city's responsibility is. So.
And we may have to look at the state law in the future to clarify this, to clear this up. And so that's one thing we'll examine as well, whether or not there's a need to change in state law to address this scenario.
Okay. Is it handled differently in November elections? The city doesn't participate
in that,
but I'm
curious. I think what happens in the November election that the county has got somebody, you know, has got their folks on the ballot. And so then the county, you know, the county handles that. But this one where the county doesn't have any folks on the ballot, they're just the local races, that's, you know, that's how it's addressed.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, one question, Mayor, if I can.
Mr. Atkins, you're recognized for
yes,
3 minutes.
Tammy, Chris, question. In the future, going forward, could you tell us the process and the procedure, how we supposed to nominate, bring the presiding judge to the full council. I know it's kind of different. It's the first time it ever happened this way. So what went wrong and how do we correct this issue? Because this was something that we were forced, as Samara said, as Chairman Gay said, to force to vote on the day. We had no option. So can we say what is the right way to go forward? I think this was the wrong way that you put the council, you put me, you put everywhere on the face that, hey, we had to vote on something, but we got no choice but do something today because we got an election for Monday. And I'm trying to make sure that this will not happen again because it'll get heartburn to majority of the council, especially to me, that I say, hey, I got to do something to put someone in that position. Now we come back and Chairman Gates, thank you again for your oversight and your leadership and saying, Merritt, I agree with you saying that we never should be in a position that we need to vote on something that we really don't know what we are voting on.
Councilman, what I would suggest is let us meet with the county, let us meet with the other political subdivisions, and then work it out, and then bring it back to the council. But I'd like to visit with the county and the other jurisdictions to, you know, so that this doesn't happen again. So that's what I'd like to do.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mayor, I have another point I'd like to make.
Okay, I just want to make sure that there's somebody who's not trying to get in who hadn't gotten in at all. Anyone else? Ms. Gates, go ahead. 3 minutes.
All right. When you are doing that, Mr. Queso, having those conversations, I'd like an explanation on why this was the item, the way it was presented to us in the agenda already included a name. If the county's asking us to nominate somebody, why would there be a name included? So I want to know exactly why that was included in the agenda item today and how that came to be. So if you could find that explanation for me and for the council, I would appreciate it. Because this is...
Yes, ma'am, we'll do it.
Yeah, that doesn't... If they're asking us to do that, then we should not have been given a name to affirm. We should have had an opportunity to put names forward like we just did. I think it should have been done in a different process, but... I'm appreciative of the fact that Mr. Atkins has put these names forward and we're going to be able to move on. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak on for against item 44? This is so weird. All right. I didn't hear anybody else. Madam Secretary, let's have a roll call vote on this one.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. When I call your name, please state yes if you're in favor, no if you're opposed. Mayor Johnson?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Medrano?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem McHugh?
Yes.
Councilmember West? Councilmember West? I'll come back. Councilmember Thomas?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Resendez?
Yes.
Councilmember Narvaez?
Yes.
Councilmember Basildua?
Yes.
Councilmember Atkins?
Yes.
Councilmember Blackman?
Yes.
Councilmember Kleinman?
Yes.
Councilmember Mendelson? Councilmember Gates? Councilmember Blewett? Councilmember West? Councilmember West is absent. Vote taken. With 13 voting in favor and 1 opposed and 1 absent vote taken, the motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Madam Secretary, let's move on to our zoning agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Before we take up our zoning agenda, Councilmember Basildua would like to be recognized on item Z1.
Mr. Basildua, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I move to defer this item to June 9th, 2021.
Okay. Information, what item is it?
Z1.
Sorry, thank you.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Ayes have it. Next item.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Narvaez would like to be recognized on item Z8.
Mr. Narvaez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to defer item number Z8 until May 12th, 2021.
Members, you've heard the motion. It's been seconded. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Narvaez, you're recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm asking for this delay. Some of the property owners around want to work out one last detail, and it's something that we're just going to need a little extra time on.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. Next item.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Blewett would like to be recognized on item C11.
Mr. Blewett, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to defer item Z11 until May 12th, 2021.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
No, sir.
Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Ayes have it. Next item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We'll now move to your zoning consent agenda. Your zoning consent agenda consisted of items Z1 through Z10. Item Z1 was deferred. Item Z4 is being removed as Councilmember Gates has a conflict of interest. Item Z8 was deferred. And item Z9 is being pulled from the item. Councilmember Resendez. Therefore, your zoning consent agenda consists of items Z2, Z3, Z5 through Z7, and Z10. I'll read those items into the record. Item Z2 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District Number 642 for R-7.5A single-family district uses in a public school other than an open enrollment charter school on the southwest corner of Lawnview Avenue and Hollis Avenue. Item Z3 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to and an expansion of Plan Development District Number 490 for a private school on property on the southeast corner of Ferguson Road and Peavy Road. Item Z5 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an L1 light industrial district on property at the north side of Telephone Road, west of Bonneview Road. Item Z6 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for a public school other than open enrollment charter school and R-7.5A single-family district uses on property in an area bounded by Taft Street, North Montclair Avenue, Rainier Street, and Mary Cliff Road. Item Z7 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a TH-1A townhouse district on property on the east line of South Marcellus Avenue, north of Ann Arbor Avenue. Item Z10 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a bank or savings and loan office with a drive-in window use on property on the east corner of Lemon Avenue and Inwood Road. We do have several individuals who have signed up to speak on several zoning items. Item Z2, Carl Crawley.
Recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. William Dahlstrom on consent item Z3.
Mayor of Council, Bill Dahlstrom. I'm here to answer any questions on Z3. Thank you.
Thank you. Consent item Z6, Carl Crawley.
Carl Crawley, again, I won't give you the address. Just here to answer any questions.
Thank you. Patricia Hawkins, consent item Z7. Ms. Hawkins?
Oh, I yield to the Honorable Councilwoman Arnold.
Thank you.
Thank you. Consent item Z10, Robert Reeves.
Robert Reeves, I'm here to answer any questions. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, this concludes your speakers for the, for these items.
Wonderful. Is there a motion on the zoning consent agenda?
To approve.
Second.
Moved and second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Those items on the consent agenda are adopted. Next item, Madam Secretary.
Item Z4. Councilmember Gates has a conflict of interest and will be removed. We'll be leaving the session. Item Z4 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for MU-2 mixed-use district uses on property on the south side of Singleton Boulevard and east side of Vilbig Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 311 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 152 replies in favor and 14 replies in opposition.
There are 18 individuals who have signed up to speak on this item. Each individual will be given 3 minutes to speak. Your first speaker, Kendra LaRocque.
Madam Secretary, we sent in a presentation.
Yes, your presentation is up.
Perfect, thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor and members of Council. Kendra LaRocque, 3904 Elm Street, Suite B. This is a zoning request from IRIM to a PD with MU2 overlay. Next slide, please. The property is just a little over 31 acres. It is located south of Singleton Boulevard, east of Vilbig Road, and west of Sylvan Avenue, closer to Chicago Street. It is zoned IRIM and has been developed for industrial uses. Next slide, please. The front part of the property facing Singleton Boulevard has old warehouses. They also had large rolled-off dumpsters with construction waste in the warehouses and empty space in the back. Next slide, please. The last operator maintained porta-potties on the back part of the property. There is also an abandoned rail spur that runs from the warehouses to the Union Pacific Freight Line to the south. We want to remove all the industrial rights and buildings and replace it with a mixed-use project. Next slide, please. We seek to redevelop the property with the first ever lagoon in the city of Dallas, around 2 acres of blue water lagoon surrounded by 3 acres of white sand beaches. We can have kayaking, swimming, water yoga, and other activities for the public. Next slide, please. This project will also have 10,000 square feet of restaurants in a food hall concept and 7,000 square feet of retail like a day spa, salon, and fitness center. All these amenities will be open to the public. Next slide, please. This is our conceptual layout for the first phase of the development. We will have vehicular access up above Singleton Boulevard and Duluth Street to the west. In speaking with the neighbors around the east side of the property, they did not want vehicular access into their neighborhood. However, they did want pedestrian access so they can walk from their homes to the lagoon and restaurant. Pretty convenient. We have worked with city staff and Commissioner Carpenter to ensure that our proposed development plans comply with strict design guidelines. They include the screening of loading spaces, first-level parking garages, and utility boxes. We also have open space requirements that allow us to keep them active areas. There will be additional landscaping required along Singleton Boulevard that includes pedestrian benches, more trees, and a buffer between the curb and the sidewalk. And furthermore, we have a number of operational requirements for the lagoon listed in the ordinance. In addition, we've worked very closely with Councilmember Narvaez's office to ensure comprehensive community outreach. Sean Williams and Ryan Trimble will share with you on these efforts. Thank you so much for your time. I'm available for any questions.
Thank you. Sean Williams.
Bluff Drive, Dallas, Texas. I wanted to share with the mayor and council the community outreach that's been part of this case. Exhibit 9 shows the notification area. We would like to thank Councilman Narvaez for pointing us into the right direction because we wanted to make sure to speak with all of the stakeholders in the area that would want to have information about this case. We began by contacting property owners in the notification area on November 30th of 2020. We knocked on 140 doors by way of bilingual canvassers who contacted each single family home in the area up to 10 times in order to have direct contact with the owners between December 1st and January 16th. This was done with safety in mind for both the staff and the residents. We had a second mailer to be sent out on January 6th for a virtual Zoom meeting to property owners within the notification area and to St. Mary's parents. We hosted a virtual Zoom meeting on Saturday, January 16th. We had two meetings for community members to attend at 1:30 p.m. and 3 p.m. With five participants. We called all of the Soho Square residents, which is adjacent to this property, individually in December. We reached out to 46 residents. We held individual meetings with Soho Square residents, where we met with 20 residents from January 15th through January 27th. We also held a Soho Square Zoom meeting for that community with 23 participants on January 26th. We'd like to share Exhibit 10, which shows that there were 127 letters of support that were received in addition to the ballot that also were received on this property. So this was the community outreach that was within the notification area, and we will continue with community outside of the notification area. Thank you.
Thank you. Ryan Trimble.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Thank you, Mayor and members. Wanted to provide some additional color on the stakeholders that we met with. We held a meeting with the Gilbert Emery Neighborhood Association, the board, and the general membership on December 11th, 2020, and again on January 18th. We met with the St. Mary's principal and board chair on January 11th. Met with Dallas Area Habitat for Humanity directors in mid-January and followed up with phone calls. Met with property owner Ollie Thompson on December 3rd, 2020. Coordinated community Zoom meetings with Councilman Narvaez's office and Maytel coordinated Zoom calls to and council office included invitations in District 6 newsletter on January 28th. 15 people participated in that, including city staff, Commissioner Carpenter, and the GENA board members and West Dallas One members. On March 11th, we met with West Dallas One, Stephanie Champion, Debbie Solis, Jeff Howard, and James Armstrong. We coordinated, again, a community meeting with Councilmember Narvaez's office, which was posted on the District 6 social media. That was April 6th. We had 15 to 20 participants, including the council member, staff, West Dallas One, and GENA board. Additionally, we met in person with A.J. Ramler, Brian Teefee. We had a phone call with him, Tatiana Farrow, who's the vice president of GENA, met in person and, again, met with GENA on December 11th and January 18th and had follow-up phone calls on the 4th, February 4th, met in person with Ronnie Mestas in mid-January, had several meetings with Debbie Solis in December. Reached out to her, participated in Zoom meetings in January, and other stakeholders with her on February 14th. Met with Althea Harrington in December and again on January 7th. Reginald Hurd with GENA met December 10th and January 18th. Dr. Emmanuel Glover, who is the president of GENA, met on December 18th and January 18th and followed up with emails. I had a phone call with Brandy Patterson on December 7th and 11th, followed up with several other phone calls and messages, and she participated in the Soho Zoom call. I met in person with Annie Shaw on January 19th. Norma Nelson had a virtual meeting with her and the principal and board of St. Mary's on January 11th. Carmen Gonzalez had a virtual meeting on January 7th and four other Los Altos residents, and then met on March 8th with Pastor Earl Thomas. Thank you, Madam Secretary.
Thank you. John Carney. John Carney
for 20 years. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
This is John Carney. I represented HMK and hundreds of other clients in West Dallas, and I'm here to answer any questions, but we are strongly in support of the SoHo 2 project as presented to the council and encourage your positive vote. If there's any questions, please don't hesitate to ask me, but I've been working this market for 20 years, and this will be the first major shovel turn of dirt, and it's badly needed for the neighborhood and provides an immense amount of affordable housing. Thank you, Madam Secretary.
Thank you. Wendy Macon is canceled. Paul Lewis.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, Hello? We can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, hi, my name's Paul Lewis, and I'm a resident property owner in the area, and I just feel very strongly in favor of this. It's like the last speaker from HMK, it's really needed in this area. It's really beneficial for this area and the entire city of Dallas and the tax base, and I strongly support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Willie Pace.
Sir, I'm with John HKN. And I'm from the building of, I'm building a fixer down here because I'm 80 years old and I'm too old to move and I don't know where I would go. So I need help with this and he's always there. HMA.
Ms. Pace? Thank you. Linda Freeney is not present. Jesse Hernandez?
Present.
Jesse Hernandez is not present. Guadalupe Gutierrez? Guadalupe Gutierrez. Guadalupe Gutierrez is not present. Guadalupe Zarate is not present. Soledad Vasquez. I believe Ms. Vasquez is present and will require a Spanish interpreter. We do have Ernesto from the language line. Ernesto?
Yes, ma'am.
You may begin with Ms. Vasquez.
Sí, soy yo.
Adelante, señorita Soledad Vázquez, diga, por favor.
Sí, la señorita Soledad Vázquez.
Okay, Soledad Vázquez here.
Mr. Ernesto?
Yes. Señorita, adelante, por favor.
Sí, soy yo, Soledad. Mi nombre es Soledad Vázquez.
Okay. My name is Soledad Vázquez, while she's saying.
Mr. Ernesto, would you?
I was going to say, Madam Secretary, could you ask the interpreter to let her know that she can give her testimony at this time?
Yes, Mr. Ernesto. You can let Ms. Vasquez know she can keep speaking.
Mm-hmm. Okay, señorita, puede dar su testimonio ahorita. Ahí está, por favor, hable.
Ah, sí, estoy a favor que lo puedan hacer, de lo que quieren construir.
I am in favor in what is intended to be constructed.
Mr. Anessa, Ms. Vasquez finished? Or is...
¿Es todo lo que quiere agregar, señorita Vasquez?
Oye, sí, pues creo que iban a hacer, al parecer iban a hacer apartamentos y un destre o de agua, me habían dicho, y eso está perfecto, para que haya más parte de empleo en la área.
Okay, I believe there was some apartments intended to be built and also a pond. I believe that this for the community is something perfect. It would generate it would generate jobs here in the area.
Mr. Nesta, will you please listen?
¿Es todo lo que quiere agregar?
Sí, es todo.
That is all.
Thank you both. Felicia Hill.
For being in a business owner in the community, I think what y'all are doing are great, and I am strongly for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Tatiana Farah.
Yes, hi. This is Tatiana Farah, and it's 2407 North Winnetka Avenue. I was actually really pleased with the amount of affordable housing that Megatoa agreed to do for the new complex. It's a lot more than we would have gotten with the previous version. And I think it's a good way also to funnel people into home ownership. They have a program where part of the rent will go to the down payment for a home. And I think the AMFI limits are also appropriate. I believe they're at 60%. And I hope that Megatel, after the approval, will continue to work with the neighborhood to draft the TIF to address our additional concerns. Thank you.
Jose Manqueras. You may begin. I'll come back. Dwayne Mosait is not present. Jay Morrison Seaton.
Yes, this is Jay Morrison Seaton. I do approve of the new development that you all are bringing to the West Dallas neighborhood.
Thank you. Koresh. Fresh.
Hello, I hope you can hear me. I would like to say that I am support fully Megatel's planned development for West Dallas, and I hope that the council and the mayor approve this project. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll try Jose Manrique again.
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you.
No?
Yes, we can hear you. You may begin. Jose Manriquez?
Yes. Hello?
You may speak. You may begin. We can hear you.
Yeah, I don't understand too much English. I don't know somebody speaks Spanish. Is it tradition?
Yes, Mary, will you please provide Spanish interpretation for Jose Manriquez, please?
Yes, yes, ma'am. Señora Manriquez, si puede seguir con su conversación, por favor.
Sí.
¿Qué le gustaría agregar? Sí, señor.
No, pues lo del todo lo que está diciendo está bien, del parque, de los apartamentos.
Okay.
Me parece bien.
Dice says everything that the item states. He says he agrees with the park and the apartment is something that he agrees with. ¿Se puede seguir, señor Marite?
Es todo lo que pues me parece a mí bien, es nada más.
Okay. He just thinks it's a good idea, and that's all his comments.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, this concludes your speakers for this item.
Thank you so very much. Is there a motion on item Z4?
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Arbaez, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Before I start, the motion is a little long, and I did have, I believe city staff has sent that to all the council members as well as your office if you want to read along. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission with the following amendments. Maximum structure height is 85 feet for structures with over 50 linear feet of frontage length along Singleton Boulevard. All other structures shall have a maximum building height of 65 feet. In Phase 1, one seven-story parking garage is permitted with a maximum height of 85 feet. The development bonus set forth in Section 51P-1049.109D3 applies if a minimum of 5% of the total number of units are available to households earning between 51 and 60% of area median family income, and 5% of the total number of units are available to households earning between 61 and 80% of the area median family income. The development bonus set forth in Section 51P-1049.109D4 applies if a minimum of 5% of the total number of units are available to households earning between 51 and 60% of area median family income, and a minimum of 5% of the total number of units are available to households earning between 61 and 80% of area median family income, and 5% of the total number of units are available to households earning between 81 and 100% of the area median family income. A courtyard with a minimum width of 30 feet and a minimum area of 900 square feet must be located within 160 feet of Vilbig Road between Bayonne Street and Muncie Avenue. The courtyard must be connected to an open space area of at least 2,500 square feet located along Vilbig Road. The minimum dimension of the open space area is 10 feet. The courtyard must be open to Vilbig Road. Any required detention may be constructed beneath a building structure so long as the required access points and outfall structure are located outside the building. All access for maintenance of an underground detention system must be serviced from areas outside the building footprints. Building structures may be constructed over detention area easements.
Second. Sorry, you were on mute the whole time. it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion, Mr. Narvaez?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I know that was a little long, colleague, but at least this time I didn't have to sing my ABCs like I did a few weeks ago. But thank you I want to first thank all the community members who have reached out, that have been a part of this. As you heard, there was over 170 plus responses positive for this development. I would also have 127 letters that were sent to me in support of this from the community members, and you saw the map of the folks that are in favor around the community development. I also want to thank the applicant for working with the community this go around and actually getting out there and making sure that folks understood and that people were brought to the table. I also want to thank our commissioner, Deborah Carpenter, for her tireless effort on working on this to make it as airtight as we possibly could. The communities that worked with us were the Gilbert Emery community, SoHo, Parkside at Trinity Greens, West Dallas One, several stakeholders around the area, almost every nonprofit around the area that you heard listed earlier, including St. Mary's Church and School and several other churches in the area. What I like about this project is that more community meetings were held than I can remember on any other project in West Dallas that I can remember in the last 4 years. And then to see the amount of outreach, it wasn't exactly a huge amount of support when this started, but as the applicant started working with the community members, the applicant started to make amendments and make changes. And even as of until this morning, we were making the final amendments to make sure that this was exactly what the community said that they wanted and what they could agree to. This is part of making sure that our developers are good neighbors and are good partners. And Megatel has proved that in this zoning case today. You got to see that we're going to have a public lagoon in the area. And I don't know, Mr. Mayor, I know you grew up in the area. I don't know if you ever thought that you would have a public lagoon with a beach that you could visit when you were a kid or even as an adult, but it's coming to West Dallas at this soon. The housing, this is the part that I'm most excited about. 15% of the units, there's about 2,100 total units between the five different apartment complexes, which is a little over 300 total units. That's basically an entire apartment complex when you add it all up anywhere else. And we're getting 15%, not 2, not 3, not 5, but 15%. 5% of that will be for 51 to 60% of residents, 5% for 61 to 80%, and 5% for 81 to 100%. I don't remember the last time, Mr. Mayor, that we got 51 to 60% in anything without a city incentive, much less 61 to 80% until a few weeks ago when we approved one at Beckley and Commerce. The other thing is that the amount of change here will be taking industrial property and making it residential. We're taking bad businesses and bad warehouses that have hurt our environment for far too long and for too many decades, and we will be turning this into something that is beautiful and environmentally friendly. It's also an over-parked structure at the front to make sure that all residents have a place to park, but also so that all the people visiting the lagoon and the other entertainment portions and the businesses will have plenty of space, as well as all the residents in the area will have plenty of space for their guests that come to the area. I am excited about this project, not because of all the amenities, but because this was community-led and the community was listened to once again in District 6. So with that, Mr. Mayor, I conclude my comments and hope that I can get a unanimous vote on this. But if not, I hope that at least 8 of us will vote in favor of this so we can get it passed and done with. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Anyone else wish to speak on for or against item Z4?
Dua.
Mr. Basil Dua, you are recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to congratulate my colleague, Councilmember Narvaez. I know that this is a case that you worked really hard on. You always set the bar high when it comes to community engagement. I love seeing West Dallas come show their support and or opposition whenever there's a case that needs their voice. I love to see that you make sure their voice is heard. And I also want to give you big kudos for also setting the bar higher in expectation as far as our affordable housing goals and the challenge that was even put on for bringing in affordable units to the city. So this is overall a big win, not only for environmental justice, not only for affordable housing, but overall for bringing in more opportunity for the working class people of Dallas. So thank you for your championing on this, Councilmember Narvaez. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak on for or against item Z4? Ms. Blackman, you're recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you, and I too want to congratulate Chairman Omar Narvaez for all his work on this. I remember this space in 2007 or 2009, and it's a perfect spot. And this is a beautiful addition to what is already happening in West Dallas. So congratulations, and I will be supporting it. And I also thank you and all the community coming together with the developers and the management to do something really great for this community. And I hope there will be a nice cookout along the lagoon and the beach, and for everybody to celebrate. Thanks.
Anyone else wish to speak on for or against item Z4?
I missed.
Is that Mr. Kleinman? Kleinman, Mr. Yes. Kleinman, and Mr. West. Mr. Kleinman, you were asked for 5 minutes.
Thank you. Just wanted to congratulate Councilmember Narvaez on this item. Very excited about this. This is just great stuff. And it's good for West Dallas, good for the city at large. And I, too, am looking forward to the first cookout along the lagoon. Would love to have a lagoon like that up in North Dallas. Didn't get one in our park, but glad y'all are getting one there. And that's exciting for the neighborhood and exciting for you, Councilmember. Very happy for you and happy to support this item. Thank you.
Mr. West, you're recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mayor. And this is an example of how you can come up with something really great for the entire community, but also the whole city, by working with neighbors and by having everybody come to the table. Congratulations to my colleague, Councilmember Narvaez, for this work and for your hard work. And Commissioner Carpenter, I'm sure, put in a lot of work into this and a lot of days, nights, and weekends to get this worked out. And this is going to take a huge chunk out of our need for affordable housing in the city, which is an ongoing challenge that we've got to do better at. And so this is a great step in the right direction, and I'm excited to support it.
Anyone else wish to speak on for or against item Z4?
Atkins.
McGue.
Medrano.
Okay. Atkins, McGue, Medrano. Let's go with Mr. Atkins for 5 minutes.
Thank you. I won't be taking 5 minutes. Again, Chairman Omar, great opportunity, great quality of life for the community. I remember many, many years ago, they said a bridge to nowhere. I think the bridge is landing on the beach. Who ever thought that a bridge is going to have a beach right at its footstep? I believe that for so many years that we talked about the American Airlines victory, the tip, the barbell tip to make sure West Dallas trying to grow, great to have economic development opportunity when people thought you was going nowhere. But now we are going west, you know, go west and look for the gold in the west. Again, thank you, Chairman Ogar, for your leadership in your neighborhood.
Mr. McGue, you're right after 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mayor. It's all been said, but I just want to congratulate Chairman Narvaez as well. And echo the comments. When you get the community involved, when you engage them in this way, you get a better result. For the community, the future residents, and our entire city. So congratulations. Thank you. Happy to support this.
And Mr. Medrano, 5 minutes.
Hello. I want to congratulate Councilmember Omar Narvaez on all the work. I was at some of these meetings. And it started off rough, but you, once you include the neighbors, you know, it usually turns out for the best. It's environmental friendly. The affordable housing is deed restricted, so this is going to happen. Just excited to see this happening for the residents. This is what they asked for. This is what they wanted. Great job on everyone involved, because it did take a lot of folks to get this across the finish line. And again, congratulations, Omar.
Anyone else wishes to be on for or against item Z4?
Councilwoman Arnold.
Ms. Arnold, you're recognized for 5 minutes.
Yes, just want to chime in. I'm always excited about the council member's ability to add that Narvaez design touch to all of the projects, and I continue to seek his advice and his help, actually, because we're going to be doing quite a bit of that, but I just need everyone to know that he always has that special touch. And I know that as soon as we get through here, I'll go out and get that attire that I need for the beach and the white sands, and I'll be ready to be first one at the gate. So I'm sure everyone in the neighborhood won't mind me crashing the party, but congratulations to you all. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak on for or against item Z4?
Mr. Mayor, if nobody else has anything to say, I'd like to just finish up with one thing.
I'm going to let you finish up, but then you're going to tell me, you know, what is a lagoon exactly, technically? What's a lagoon? I remember the movie as a kid with the Blue Lagoon with Brooke Shields or whatever when I was a kid. What is a lagoon? What is that? I mean, you know, it sounds fancy. It
Fancy pond. How does that sound?
Fancy pond. All right. Okay, I got you. All right. Go ahead, though. You're recognized for 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, everybody, for the accolades. And again, big congratulations. This is a victory for West Dallas and the entire city of Dallas for all the reasons that were stated earlier. But I just wanted to finish up and say absolutely everybody will be invited to a big cookout party celebration, whatever it is. I'm sure Mr. Ikpor and Megatel will be more than happy to host us all once it gets built. Barring that we have a vote at this time that is in favor, but it sounds like we will. So thank you again, Mr. Mayor, and thank you again, everybody, for all the accolades. And let's keep getting that affordable housing built in West Dallas and across the entire city of Dallas. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Anyone else wish to speak on for or against item Z4? Hearing none, a record vote has been requested. A record vote has been granted. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. When I call your name, please state yes if you're in favor, no if you're opposed. Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Medrano?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem McGue?
Yes.
Councilmember West? I'll come back. Councilmember Thomas?
Yes. Great job, Omar.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Resendez? Yes. Councilmember Narvaez?
Yes.
Councilmember Basildua?
Yes.
Councilmember Atkins?
Yes.
Councilmember Blackman?
Yes.
Councilmember Kleinman?
Yes.
Councilmember Mendelson? Councilmember Gates? I'm sorry, has a conflict. Councilmember Blewett?
Yes.
Councilmember West? One last time, Councilmember West? Councilmember West is absent with vote taken. With 13 voting in favor, one abstention, and one absent vote taken. The item passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Next item, please.
Item Z9 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1871 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store 3,500 square feet or less on property on the northeast corner of Lake June Road and Holcomb Road.
Mayor, we sent 16 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received one reply in favor and none in opposition.
We do have one individual who has signed up to speak on the item, Parvez Malik.
Ma'am, I'm here and standing by. I'm the zoning consultant for the applicant. I'm standing by if Mr. Resendez have any questions or any council member or mayor. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There are no further items. There are no further speakers for the item, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Is there a motion on item Z9? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. We'll hear it now, Mr. Resendez. Go ahead.
I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission with the following change. The specific use permit is approved for 3 years and is eligible for 3-year automatic renewals.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Not for me.
Any discussion from anyone? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. The ayes have it. Next item.
Item Z12 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a community service center on property on the west side of St. Augustine Drive and south of Siegelville Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 48 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received 3 replies in favor and none in opposition.
There are no speakers for this item, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Is there a motion?
I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by City Plan Commission.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? The ayes have it. Next item.
Item C-13 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an MF-1A multifamily subdistrict and a resolution accepting deed restriction volunteered by the applicant on property on the southwest corner of Copeland Street and Gay Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 43 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 3 replies in favor and none in opposition.
We have one individual who has signed up to speak on the item, Anish Sakra.
Hey, this is Anish, 3208 Cole Street, Dallas 75204. I'm here to answer any questions.
Thank you. There are no further speakers for this item, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any motion on this one?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Basilewa.
I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Planning Commission.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion?
There is none, sir.
Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I have it. Next item.
Thank you.
Item C-14 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district on property on the southwest corner of Maple Avenue and Medical District Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 179 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received no replies in favor and none in opposition.
We have 3 individuals who have signed up to speak on the item. Your first speaker is Jonathan Vincent.
Mayor, council members, can y'all hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great. My name again, Jonathan Vincent, 2323 Ross Avenue, representing the Dallas County Hospital District, Parkland Hospital. And is it possible for me to share my screen?
No, it is not, Mr. Vincent.
Okay, all right. Very good. Well, you all, I believe, received from the City Secretary a copy of our slide deck, and I'll just briefly explain why we're here. This is for Parkland Hospital's new Moody Clinic and their associated parking facility, parking garage. There's a quirk in the development code that allows institutional uses to charge an hourly or daily fee for required parking. Other uses cannot. This particular property, the new Moody Clinic, is on a separate lot from the remainder of the Parkland Hospital campus, and it's CO'd as a medical clinic use, which is under the office category, and therefore, under the development code, cannot charge an hourly or daily fee for parking. All of the other Parkland Hospital garages can and do charge a nominal fee for parking, and this fee is charged to fund the Parkland Hospital Police Department and provide for public safety and operational reasons. So it supports the community-driven mission of Parkland Hospital. So we're simply asking to be able to charge for parking in this parking garage for the new Moody Clinic facility. And there was really no other avenue other than going the PD route to do this at this time. ZOAC is considering changing parking requirements, including for this type of use, but that's going to be a number of months in the future. And this facility is actually already open. I have with me Lori Adair, who's the Senior Facility Program Manager for Parkland. Bill Carruthers is the Development Director for Parkland. They're signed up to speak, unless you all have any questions or they have anything to say. I think I've pretty much recapped it. There's been no opposition to this whatsoever. Plan Commission recommended approval, so we certainly respectfully ask that you go along with their recommendation in this case. Staff recommended denial, and I think that was just from a very general policy standpoint, you know, the idea of we're pursuing this PD to cure this one issue. So we had a respectful disagreement on that, but we would again ask you to go along with the Plan Commission recommendation on this to support Parkland and its community-serving mission, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Thank you. Laura Adair.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Laura Adair. I'm a senior program manager with Parkland Hospital. All we're trying to do with this plan development is to charge a fee for parking like all the other garages on our campus. I'm here to answer any questions you may have for Parkland. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill Carruthers.
Good afternoon, everyone. Echoing the comments of Jonathan and Laura, I'm here to answer any questions if need be. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further speakers for this item, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Is there a motion?
Yes, Mayor.
Go ahead, please.
I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by City Plan Commission.
Is there a second?
Yes, second.
Discussion. Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
The ayes have it, Madam Secretary. Next item, please.
Item C15 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a CR community retail district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the west line of Pemberton Hill Road, south of Lake June Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 15 notices to property owners within 400 feet of the area of request. We received one reply in favor and none in opposition.
There are no speakers for this item, Mr. Mayor.
Motion.
I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Planning Commission.
Is there a second?
Yes.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
No, sir.
Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
The ayes have it. Next item.
Item PH1 is a public hearing to receive comments to amend the City of Dallas Thoroughfare Plan to delete Chenault Street from Buckner Boulevard to City of Dallas City Limits and delete unnamed anyone from Chenault Street to Interstate Highway 30, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance implementing the change. We do have seven individuals who have signed up to speak on this item. Each speaker will be given 3 minutes to speak. Your first speaker, Ruth Torres.
Good afternoon, Mayor, City Secretary, and City Council. Appreciate your time. I am opposed to this item. I ask that you would agree with the staff in denying this motion. I am strongly opposed to any additional charter schools, especially to have a school next to a highway. This is a setup for disaster, and I ask that you move in the best interest of this community and deny this request. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Marvin Crenshaw is not present. Lori Kirkpatrick.
I'm representing the Coalition for Equity in Public Education, a nonprofit here in Dallas dedicated to upholding democratic processes for community schools, ensuring equity in education for all. I'm speaking in opposition to the Thoroughfare Plan Amendment, which is to delete two planned streets. And the number one reason is that all city departments have recommended denial, including the Planning and Urban Design, Sustainable Development and Construction, and the CPC's Thoroughfare Plan Commission, as did TxDOT. The city staff determined that the removal of these roadways from the Thoroughfare Plan would not promote the Forward Dallas guiding principles of efficiency and safety. And then last month, the CPC unanimously denied Uplift Charter's request for a plan development on this affected property, citing significant traffic and safety concerns. So essentially, there isn't even a need at this time. I think it's worthwhile to note the overall lack of transparency on this proposal from the start. It reminds us just how important community involvement and notification is. Uplift relocating to East Dallas would be a major disruption, resulting in enrollment declines and funding for DISD campuses in the area. It forces the district to cut teachers and programming in East Dallas. And over the past 9 years, Uplift has reduced DISD's revenues by over $450 million without the approval of a single taxpayer. And other than the city planning staff sending notice to the 500-foot radius, did anyone ask the approximately 12,000 Dallas ISD students and their families whether they wanted their tax dollars removed from their school to fund an unnecessary new school in their area, or whether they wanted to delete streets that have been deemed necessary for timely and safe access in their area. A new school with no elected board to oversee those tax dollars. And who notified Dallas ISD? I know the answer to that because it was me. Until I alerted them, they had no idea this was in process. Please recognize that charter schools and their proliferation isn't about quality education or choice. It's a well-orchestrated movement to transfer governance and taxpayer money to private entities. Let it be very clear that the only body with any real choice is the charter school itself. It chooses who can come in and who can stay. I know this isn't a permitting issue, but I do want to remind you or say that in order for an entity to establish itself in our community, it's supposed to complement and be compatible with surrounding communities, enhance and promote the welfare of the area, not be detrimental to general welfare and safety. This amendment would not meet any of those criteria, and I respectfully ask for you to oppose this thoroughfare plan amendment. Thank you so much for your service.
Thank you. George Rangel.
Mayor Pro Tem, Mayor. My name is George Rangel, 2732 Beachmont Place, 75228. I live in District 7. Thank you for this opportunity to let me speak to you today. The item I'm speaking on today is PH1. As a resident in the area that is being proposed, that this is being proposed, I would like to speak against the thoroughfare plan amendment filed number 21-246. This plan simply does not promote the safety of my community, nor does it promote the guiding principles Dallas has for efficiency. The City Plan Commission has already acted in denying the land use application, and now it appears to the community that uplift is going through the back door to get what it wants. This is unacceptable. You are our elected officials. We ask that you not fall for these tactics and act in our best interest. Please vote against the thoroughfare plan amendment. Thank you for your attention and your time.
Thank you. Victor Beck.
Yes, I'm Victor Beck. I'm the senior pastor of Heartline Ministries, where the thoroughfare is planned to be adjacent to our property, approximately 60 feet from our cafeteria and our fellowship hall, where we actually have activities. When we built the facility in 2008, our plan was, the vision was to build a multipurpose facility and later on build a main campus in the back. There was nothing in the plans where we saw through our due diligence that there would be a thoroughfare coming through adjacent of our property, or we would have never purchased the property. And so I'm asking that you delete Chenault Street, the thoroughfare plan, because it definitely doesn't serve our best interest, and we believe that it doesn't serve the interest of our community as well. And that's all I have to say. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you for listening to me.
Thank you. Susie Bell Gosley is not present. Tony Chenevert.
Hello, my name is Tony Chenevert. Good afternoon, Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, and City Council. I'm speaking against the thoroughfare plan amendment, file number 21-246. Charter schools are not better than public schools, and most do not get better academic results than public schools, and they often perform worse. Charters sometimes appear to do better because they can control the types of students they choose to serve. Public schools take all types of students, and still their ranking is usually higher than most charter schools. Charter schools drain the funding of public schools. There is a pandemic of charter schools in the Dallas metro area, and it is costing taxpayers public education. There must be a moratorium on the proliferation of charters that don't have the accountability, checks and balances of public schools. Therefore, I am against the thoroughfare plan amendment, file number 21-246. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. There are no further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Is there a motion on this item?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to defer this matter until August 11th, 2021.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Yes, sir.
Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Yes, I was just wondering if there could be a reason given why.
Go ahead, Mr. Basildua, if you'd like.
Yeah, I have more work to do in the community, as you can see from the comments. I'd like to be able to work through some issues that have come up, not only with the business owners, but also with a partnering, if you will, zoning case that seems to be confused with a lot of where the comments were made today that isn't really the item that we're taking up today. So I'd really like an opportunity to get back with the community and make sure that everyone's well educated on what it is that we're doing.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, Madam Secretary.
There's no further business, Mr. Mayor.
Well, all right then. There will be no further business before the council today. The time is now 2:49 p.m. and this meeting of the Dallas City Council is adjourned. Thank you very much, members.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.